Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. Good morning, PETA people who think that fish should not be hurt. Because now we find that they're trying to make us believe that fish experience pain in a deep way, and that perhaps we shouldn't be messing with the fish. Don't hurt the fish. What are we supposed to eat? Here we go. How about this classic hit?
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6th PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
Bing, bing, bing. Good for you. Good for you. The neocon death cult gynalacky Tomette Uber Daddy's girl sitting there, perky and smiling with those big teeth, just like, look at me, I can skate, I can speak Russian, I can let people die without blinking an eye, all while I'm playing the piano.
Classical piano.
I'm the amazing Condi Rice. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty well, sir.
Now, let me tell you something about Condi Rice.
Yes, sir.
Condi Rice may start her own branch of the death cult.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
I don't know, dude.
She is, by moving to Secretary of State, see, it's very interesting how this is all playing itself out. Colin Powell, despite all of the, you know, everybody loved him, he was such a great guy, he wasn't really that tight with President Bush.
But I, from some of the analysis I'm reading, Mark Riley, that apparently is a better way to be. It's better that the State Department is a little at odds with the administration to keep the debate going. It's better to have the administration a little at odds with the CIA to keep an active debate going. If everybody's on the same page, then we get into a situation where there is no more reality and the agenda just, you know, manufactures the reality and perception, and there's no checks and balances within, you know, in between the departments.
And you think George Bush has a problem with any of that?
No, I don't think he has a problem with it at all. But I'm just saying that's the liability.
Of course, it is the liability, but it is a liability that George W. Bush is willing to take on. And in Condoleezza Rice, he has someone that he is close to on a level, and this is not that my husband thing, but he's close to on a level that he never was with Colin Powell. This is a person who, when she goes to foreign capitals and says, I speak for the president, they're going to have to believe she speaks for the president. That makes her an extremely powerful person. Powerful enough, in fact, to start her own little wing of the death cult, separate from Dick Cheney, separate from Donald Rumsfeld, separate from Wolfowitz and the rest of them. She will now have her own Rice wing of the
But that wing is going to be under the Cheney-Rumsfeld neocon death cult umbrella. I mean, let's not...
I wouldn't bet the store on that.
What, are you crazy?
I wouldn't bet the store on that.
Let's talk about that. Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Karl Rove. Karl Rove is the magician that keeps the illusion going on the domestic level to make sure policy continues to rape the people that are too poor to understand that they're being screwed from behind. And then, you know, you've got Rumsfeld and Cheney who are operating, you know, the global pillaging. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So you're sad, but you're saying that I think Condi Rice is going to go out into the world, and as opposed to speak for the president, she will say, I will speak to the president and tell him what he should think of this, then get back to you when he tells me what he thinks about what I told him to think.
Here's the important thing about Condi Rice and about the relationship with Cheney, Rumsfeld, and him. Condi Rice's first choice was not to be Secretary of State. Guess what guess what job she really wanted?
Wife of the president?
Presidential mistress? I don't know. No. She wanted Rumsfeld's job. She wanted defense.
Yeah,
she did not want state. You don't think Rumsfeld, who hasn't quit yet, is going to be welcoming Condi Rice with open arms when he knows already that she wanted his gig?
Yeah, well, they've been fighting for, you know,
for
the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's be honest. Okay, let's keep the assumption that Bush is still fake Christian AWOL blow monkey puppet of the neocon death cult. All right, the Cheney regime's, you know.
Oh yeah,
puppet. So let's assume that's true. Cheney and Rumsfeld have known each other for what, 30 years? They've been, you know, failing and commiserating and slowly pillaging whatever they can for 30 years within the government. So that's a relationship that goes way back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, you know, assume that those guys are the guys that are controlling, you know, the smirk, all right? which I just picked up from an email, which I like.
Yeah.
Okay, so why would they? Why would that boys' network even entertain the idea of letting her be Secretary of Defense? It was never going to happen.
Well, she might not have ended up being Secretary of Defense, but what I'm saying is she is not going to fit nicely or neatly underneath Rumsfeld and Cheney's wing of the Bush administration. I think she's going to have her own wing of the Bush administration.
So you're saying there's still going to be points of contention. There's going to be points of contention between state and defense,
yes,
but not between state and the White House.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because of the relationship. Remember that Condoleezza Rice had a relationship with Bush's father. They go back a long, long way.
She's been trying to please these Bush men for a long time.
For a long time. And now she's in a position to let me not say that.
You don't want to go to Rileytown so early?
Yeah, it's a little early. It's 11 minutes past. It's 11 past 3 on the West Coast, for God's sake. But I believe that Condoleezza Rice has an agenda where she is going to go to other, to world capitals and say to people, I am the person that, Bush isn't here. I speak for him. You get your information through me about what it is that he wants.
But all these, she's not an underling, obviously, she's a cabinet head, but
yeah,
all these people that he's bringing on board, he can trust to completely toe the party line. There's not going to be any points of dissent between Condoleezza Rice and George Bush in that relationship, right?
Right.
So, there's nothing to worry about. She's going to be as hawkish as she always was, right?
She's going to remain hawkish, but she's going to remain hawkish in a different way than Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
See, remember that Rice, despite the bumbling that you just played at the beginning of the show when she was testifying in front of the 9/11,
she's pretty clear. It's just that, she was very clear. I mean, but the insinuation is, it's just like yesterday in a Roosevelt Room announcement, Bush said, basically about Rice, that the terrorism in the Middle East conflict topped his list of foreign policy priorities. Rice's eyes welled with tears as the president cited her, quote, deep abiding belief in the value and power of liberty because she has been seen freedom denied and freedom reborn. And in response to terrorism, Rice said, really, is that still a problem?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But see, and there's a whole other thing that goes on with that. But see, George W. Bush is very skilled. Colin Powell's the only black person that's actually been in this cabinet that doesn't fit that mold of, son of a Southern family or daughter of a Southern family, came up, with Condi Rice, was classmates with one of the young girls that was killed in the Birmingham bombing in 63. There's a whole Horatio Alger part of this, which says
fabricated or
no, not in any way, shape, or form.
Really? That's
what's weird about it, though, and this is something that happened when the Cosby Show was in its heyday in the 80s, too. People like Condoleezza Rice and Rod Paige are held out to African Americans as, well, if they can do it, what's wrong with you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, here's a woman came from, now, Condoleezza Rice did not grow up, dirt poor. Let's be clear about that. Her father and mother were both, I believe, educators. She graduated college at 15, had a bachelor's at 20, no, had a PhD at 26.
But does she get the Mark Riley Tom stamp?
Tough question. I don't know if she's not a Tom in that. Well, yeah, I could say she does, because she did say once, she was quoted as saying that the race problem was a hiccup in American history. I'm paraphrasing, but she said something along.
And Colin Powell does get the Tom stamp.
Colin Powell's a very interesting figure, because some people are thinking that he ought to run for the United States Senate from guess where? Right here in New York.
I know.
Challenge Hillary Clinton in 2 years. We'll see. Colin Powell, though, escapes the Tom stamp.
Because even when he was lying, you knew that deep down he knew he was lying, and it made him angry.
Yeah, exactly. the whole thing about the effing crazies.
Yeah,
that,
right.
See, people see that as the real Colin Powell. People see that as the Colin Powell that's kind of like unplugged, the guy that the White House could never really control. When it came to, and by the way, he was talking at the time about the same neocon death cult that we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. Same group of people, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, the whole crew. Now, Condoleezza Rice, in saying, it's so wonderful for me to, follow Colin Powell. There's a very interesting dynamic in their relationship. Here are two very highly placed black people, two very successful black people. One black man, one black woman, an ex-military guy, a woman who's an academic, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're both placed in a position where they effectively act as checks and balances on each other.
I wonder how he's going to respond to the I guess a statement came out of the White House that they're going to be building a statue of Colin Powell.
Oh, you're not going to do that, are you? Look at this. It's 16 past.
Where apparently they're doing a small painted colored bronze statue that they're going to put right in front of the White House of Colin Powell with a little red hat on holding a lantern.
Lantern, yes. They're not going to be. He's nobody's lawn jockey.
All right. It's 16 past the hour. We're going to come back and talk about that horrendous piece of video that came out of Iraq yesterday.
Yes.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion. Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work, courtesy of Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000-plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free.
Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN? Your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought you'd like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Hey,
whoa. Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the ease used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
...889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Past the hour, you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is the Morning Sedition program on Air America Radio. We're about to talk about that horrendous piece of video that came out of Iraq yesterday. But before that, if you remember that that Army squadron, I guess, it's an Army Reserve unit.
Right, 343rd Quartermaster
Company. That refused to follow orders to take polluted fuel up into a hot zone in trucks that were not fortified properly or escorted properly, and they didn't do it because they thought it was a suicide mission. Now the Army is recommending punishment, and I assume that'll happen, Riley. What do you think?
What, that they'll be court-martialed?
Yes.
It looks that way. I mean, right now the Army is recommending some kind of punishment, but they haven't said what kind of punishment. They are soldiers here. Have not been charged with a crime, but this is a preliminary finding. Now, this particular unit, the 343rd, is based in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and 18 of those 24 soldiers allegedly involved in this were held for 2 days, and another six have also been faulted.
The punishment will be that they'll have to take polluted fuel up to unarmored trucks without an escort. No, I mean, it just seems to me that now that the reelection is in place and everything is sort of, you know, moving forward in the way that this administration finds suitable, that they won't hold back for political reasons. So why wouldn't they punish these guys, even though it's wrong and they weren't equipped properly? And if the mission was indeed a suicide mission, there are people, we've talked to vets about this. There's two sides of this, that it doesn't matter what the situation is. You don't question your orders. You follow them, and that's that.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think now that all the political stuff is out of the way, this comes in the general under the general heading of unfinished business. This is something now that can happen, and nobody's really going to, you know, kick up a great deal of fuss about it. And it may actually just get submerged under the videotape.
Well, I think we should kick up a little fuss about it because it's, you know, there have been reports that come out that, you know, obviously the armed forces over there are overextended. Many of them are under-equipped. And certainly they're drained and frazzled. And, you know, and these people, like, assess the situation logically. And I think it is the responsibility of the administration, of the U.S. government, to provide them with what they need in order to do their missions to the best of their abilities. It's not like we're at the end of our rope here.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, financially we're in dire straits. All the money's going over there right now.
Well, see, money, yeah. Manpower is where there's really dire straits. I mean, it's getting to the point that you don't even know if the Army can afford to lose 24 people because there's just so many, the demand is so high. People still believe that you need probably twice as many soldiers that are now in Iraq. Somewhere on the order of, 250 to 300,000 to actually secure the country. And we'll get into that later today, too, with, you know, the goings on in places like Fallujah and Mosul. But bottom line, this is a situation that you may see more of, and that may be why the Army is deciding to punish him. By the way, there were two investigations that are supposedly going on here. One is it looking directly into their refusal to do what they were ordered to do. The other is looking into the allegations that the trucks were unfit. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens when that part of the investigation.
Yeah, well, obviously what you're saying is that they're not going to court-martial them, probably. They will reprimand them. I don't know what
reduction in rank they could get. They could get loss of pay for a specific period of time. They could get discharged under certain circumstances.
Now, obviously, the biggest news coming out of Iraq today, there are two stories about it's been confirmed that the woman, the British woman from CARE, was indeed Killed.
Killed, yes. Murdered.
Yes.
That is Margaret Hassan, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other story is the video of the shooting of a wounded and apparently unarmed man in Fallujah Mosque by a U.S. Marine. You know, we saw the outtakes. We were not outtakes, but we saw the video footage on CNN that we were allowed to see that obviously didn't show the actual shooting.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is, apparently Alberto Gonzalez has said that, this is fine. This is the way that the enemy should be shot. I mean, as long as he wasn't, it's wrong to kill a guy if he's really sleeping.
Yeah.
That's what Gonzalez says. But, you know, if the guy's just laying down, it's fair game.
This is going to ignite a firestorm of controversy, Mark, because people aren't, at this point, first of all, a lot of...
That was a joke, by the way.
I know.
I just want to make sure that there are people out there like, that Gonzalez fella is really screwed up. but it is going to cause a lot of controversy. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's going to cause controversy because people are very, very polarized around this already. There are people who believe that the Marine was absolutely justified because they are trained, and I guess a lot of people aren't aware of this, but they are trained to be to approach a wounded person very, very cautiously because there's a possibility that they may have some kind of explosive devices strapped to them or whatever, or they may try and take a group of people out if you get too close, that sort of thing.
My gut reaction, being a reactionary, my gut reaction was it looked like there was at least four guys in the room with guns that were ready to disarm any situation. My gut reaction was, you know, it seemed sort of cold-blooded, I didn't know that. I've never been in war. These guys are, you know, they're frazzled. It's a horrendous situation they're in. You know, they have to make split-second decisions. But it just seemed to me with four guys, you know, in there to secure the situation and get up on this guy with four guns in his face. Let's see your hands. Like, maybe I watched too many movies, but it seemed a little quick, you know. But I'm gonna stop at blaming anybody, but that was my gut reaction.
No, I can understand. That's a lot of people's gut reaction.
Well, I'd like to hear your gut reaction. 866-303-2270. If you're a vet or you want to weigh in on this on either side, if you're a vegan, any way you stand on this, because it is a hot topic and it's something we want to talk about right now with you people.
Is it justified? Do people think that it was okay for this guy to do this? Was this a war crime? There's some people who are putting it in that context as well. 866-303-2270 is our phone number. We'll be getting back to you on the phones. Ray Ray just split. Oh, no, that wasn't Ray Ray. It was the imitation Ray Ray. We'll get to him as well with the presidential pop pilot and much more here on Air America Radio.
Call 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Are you getting burned by bills? High interest credit card debt putting the heat on you? Fight fire with fire. That's right. FIRE, Financial Independence and Resource Education, will eliminate your unsecured debt for a fraction of what you owe, without a loan. Are you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more in debt and paying outrageous interest rates? Let the professionals at FIRE put 40 years of experience to work for you. They'll negotiate and settle your debt down to 20 to 40% of what you now owe. You can reduce monthly payments immediately and be debt-free in less than 24 months. The FIRE experts are so sure they can eliminate your debt, they even offer a risk-free money-back guarantee. So give them a try. FIRE can even correct your past mistakes by helping you clean up your credit report and remove late payments, bankruptcies, charge-offs, and collections. So remember, fight fire with FIRE. Call right now at 1-866-659-1131. That's 1-866-659-1131. 866-659-1131.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he's allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Phil wants to know if he and his wife are ready to buy their first home. My advice after this.
Money, 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 money.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Phil and his wife buy their first home?
My wife and I are wanting to purchase a home. We've been married for a year. We are debt-free with the exception of a school loan.
Cool.
We sat down. We talked about the mortgage. We think we can afford it. And then they bust PMI out on us.
And without a 20% down payment, you're going to have private mortgage insurance.
Is that every time? No
yes.
way around it?
No way around it.
Okay.
No way around it is a good way. I mean, there's other things you can do. There's people that are doing what are called 80-20 loans where they take out a second mortgage at a higher interest rate. And since the first mortgage is only 80%, then they don't charge you PMI. But the higher interest rate on the second mortgage offsets the fact you don't have PMI. So it's you know, you're swapping dollars. I'd take out the PMI. Just make sure you put it on a 15-year fix, then you pay it down as fast as you can pay it down.
No way we're going to be able to afford a home.
Then you need to wait. You don't need to buy a home on a 30-year mortgage. That's a dangerous thing. It goes on forever and ever, and the amount of interest you pay is just horrible.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry. I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. When I played a DA on NYPD Blue, I got all the facts before trying a case. Yet many don't know the facts about epilepsy. There are 2.5 million Americans with the condition, and 1 in 10 Americans will have a seizure in their lifetime. People with epilepsy want to lead normal lives, but too many of us don't know what epilepsy is or what to do if someone has a seizure. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000.
I have this great DJ spinning. She's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up. And I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling too. Friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. And she starts convulsing, and call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we're all
ecstasy. It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hey, it's 34 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Air America Radio. Ramon apparently is still holding out for a cabinet position. He's sending this guy Johnny now. He doesn't say much other than Johnny, I'm Johnny. And he gave us, today we got Condi Rice's Palm Pilot. 5 a.m., wake up, order the sun to rise. Time its response. 5:30 a.m., 500 crunches, 500 reverse crunches. My husband, or the president, likes me toned. 6 a.m., insert metal stabilizing rods into hair. Use mallet to fashion into girlish flip. 6:30 a.m., talk to mom. Assure her the new job is not just a secretary. 8 a.m., receive briefing about stockpiles of biological weapons in Malaysia. Note, don't burden my husband, the president, with this. Hasn't he done enough for us? 11 a.m., review Colin Powell's plans for crisis in the Sudan. Note, no priority. The place is full of black people.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, Mark.
3 a.m., relax to the music. The Carpenters, Air Supply, Bread, Dan Fogelberg. 9 p.m., stroke my husband's, the president's hair and calm him, my brave little man. Wait until sleep and spit bubbles come. Midnight, slip into Catwoman outfit. Meet President Batman in the alley. Nothing. This is good, right, Kayla? This is a funny one, right? All right, let's get back. Let's pull out of the funny. We're pulling out of the trenches of funny.
We got a lot of calls.
Yeah, we are talking about the video of the Marine firing. Well, you didn't see it firing, but there was an enemy, perhaps at least a human, an Iraqi, laying down in a mosque, prostrate, apparently wounded. Not clear, as you were saying, whether he was dead or wasn't dead. The dialogue on the tape was, this one's faking. But there's a lot of things that are still a gray area here. The real question is in this situation, you know, was this wrong? Or was it just that these guys are put into a hellish situation, completely chaotic, they've been fired upon for days? Is this just part of war? And as you said in some training, and we'll talk to some vets it seems on the phones now, you know, you are definitely supposed to be armed and aware and ready to shoot upon wounded soldiers.
There is a danger. And remember that the Marine that allegedly did this had seen his unit, apparently somebody in his unit was killed by a booby-trapped dead body. Not even a wounded person. He was wounded in the face from shrapnel, apparently.
Right.
So he had already experienced the day before a booby-trapped body of a dead Iraqi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he was approaching this situation with a great deal of caution.
All right, let's take some calls. We have Mike, who is driving a truck in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mike.
Hey,
good
Mike. Morning, Mark. And Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. Right. Yourself?
All right. The first thing, I'm a military retired Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get that on the... But the thing about it is, this guy is working under tremendous stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't know who the enemy is. They are not dressed in a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They're dressed in civilian clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if he's booby-trapped or not.
Right.
The other thing is let the Marine Corps handle it. Let them do the investigation. And the thing about it is in combat, you're in a tense situation.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, absolutely tense.
Yeah.
You don't know who's who.
Right.
And the thing about it is, here's another thing. This gentleman supposedly was wounded the day before in the face.
Yes.
According to some reports.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
And you've got to give this guy a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
You know,
should he even be?
He had just seen his buddies probably blown up, and just because there's four bodies, there's four other guys with him.
Yeah,
that's a prime target for a booby trap.
So
just one, you take four.
I get you.
Okay.
Yep.
And the other thing with these kids, I call them kids. I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
I'm mad with these kids from Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that disciplinary action could go from disobeying an order, which would probably be a reprimand, Article 15, type, something like that.
Right.
All the way to mutiny.
Wow.
In a wartime situation, which could ultimately bring a death penalty.
Wow.
It hasn't been done since World War II, but...
What do you think they're going to do, Mike? What do you think?
I think they're going to cover it up, hash it over.
Maybe reprimand them a little bit?
Yeah, I think Article 15's reduction in rank.
Right.
Like Mark said, your buddy there, Mark said.
Yeah.
You know, reduction in pay and things like that.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Mike. Thanks for helping out.
Appreciate it. By the way, you know, those reprimands can come back to haunt you when you get out in the private industry.
I guess. Yeah, right. Of course, yeah. If you have any sort of record, it seems to haunt you unless you're, you know, in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And you want to move up in rank. Well, that's actually not true. But apparently, there's a lot of cats that have some pretty some closets full of stuff in the Congress.
Oh, we could spend a whole show about that.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, he shed a little light on that. I didn't see it. That even if there's four guys, yeah, I watch too many movies on some level. You just think like, I'm gonna sneeze. I can feel it coming. Oh man. What's it? Wait. Come on, just give it to me. Just give it. Oh, it's not happening. So, but you know, I think that, you know, four guys come in with guns. And you go,
there you go.
Oh my God, was that terrific or
hey,
what?
Hey.
That four guys. Thank you for the Kleenex, Mark Riley. That you know, the first thing is like, come on, all right, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. You know, let me see your hands. But what we're getting? Let's take another call. You know, that this stuff in combat, that this is a common occurrence, that apparently, like, there were guys who were waving surrender flags, and when the troops would come up, they put them down and blow themselves up or shoot at them.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's
not only that, if you say, show me your hands, and the guy doesn't speak English, you're kind of got a problem.
Because my first reaction is reactionary. It is based on images I saw of Vietnam. It is based on the ideas that, you know, if you shoot a guy that's down, that there's something wrong with that. But see, I'm not educated in anything, and nor have I been in a combat situation. You know, I can barely imagine. When I really think about the sort of horrific, panicky, you know, anxiety, you know, the type of fear and intensity that comes in the situations these guys are in, my brain almost explodes. I mean, I can get, you know, I get anxious, you know, if my cats are a little out of control, you know?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I haven't been in combat either. My instincts, however, are to say that this guy, you know, pending the outcome of a thorough investigation, should be given the benefit of the doubt. This was a videotape, and you never see everything on a videotape.
Given the situation of the combat, why was this guy still, you know, in a fighting situation if he did have a facial injury? I mean, it's like I said, it's not like we're at the end of our rope there, are we?
You never know.
All right, Ron, listening in Pennsylvania on LIB. Well, wow, that's pretty impressive. You're getting it in Pennsylvania, huh?
Yeah, hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Mark.
How you doing?
Well, it's been a long time, man. Listen, very quickly, I was a Marine. I've been right where that young Marine has been. It's the nature of the beast being war. You just don't know. You got to cut the kid some slack.
Right.
Because he's been through a lot. He's in a hellish situation. We don't know what happened, transpired before that incident. I've been there myself. I mean, the VC had a way of booby-trapping their bodies by pulling pins halfway out, put two or three under, tying a string around one so that when you turn the body over, they go off,
yeah.
So you mean the other guy would booby-trap the dead body?
Oh, sure.
Right, right.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that situation was.
Sure.
But I can tell you, it was horrendous.
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, one of the things here that people are not really clear about is the fact that this particular unit did not know that there had been another unit, apparently, that had gone through there not long earlier.
And also, if the body was booby-trapped, shooting them is not going to change that situation.
Shooting them could well detonate the booby-trap, depending on what they use.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, in my reactionary mind, that... But see, protocol,
there is no one way.
No.
There is no single way that you deal with something.
But
like
there are rules of engagement, but from what I'm hearing, what I'm hearing from you and what I'm hearing from some of these vets we're talking to is that, you know, one of those rules is be wary of wounded or dead soldiers.
Yes, absolutely.
Or not soldiers,
enemy combatants. They could be booby-trapped. They could be, the guy could have been up under there with, you know, wearing a vest that had a whole bunch of explosives and just waiting to press a button. End of story.
Man, it just horrifies me. We'll be back with more of your calls. 866-303-2270. It's 43 past the hour. This is Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Because two Marks are better than one. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Planet. Ocean warriors, beware of algal blooms. Matt McClain from the Surf Fighter Foundation explains.
When the nitrates from the sewage reaches the ocean, it basically acts like a fertilizer, and so all the algae and other organisms in the ocean feed upon that, and we have what's called harmful algal blooms.
Because these algae are so pervasive in the water, it causes other species like sea lice to feed on the algae.
You've been seeing swimmers going into the water, getting stung by sea lice, and then coming out with just horrible rashes.
These rashes look like the worst case of chicken pox. For days afterward, it feels like you're on fire.
In some cases, causing systemic allergic reactions, requiring them to go to the hospital, and two cases have been life-threatening.
Go to surffighter.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
I got serious in August because I really wanted to hear the NFL, and I didn't even know you were on, and I had to get straight 4 to 6. I'm sitting in fucking traffic. I'd be pulling my hair out if I wasn't.
George from Alabama.
Now it's going to be on where I can actually listen.
Friday was his go-out night.
Oh, I got you.
Monday to Thursday, he was...
There we go. Jersey. What's your favorite station?
Raw Dog.
Nice.
Jim Brewer unleashed weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
1 Pacific.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog.
147.
Comedy uncensored.
Except here is a promo. What are you going to do?
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Past the hour, you're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's my friend Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are talking to you guys. A lot of vets are calling in, 866-303-2270. We're talking about the videotape of the Marine, what gets cut off right before he fires on a prostrate, apparently wounded, possible insurgent.
Yeah.
And I was discussing how my innate reaction as a relatively pampered liberal reactionary who has neither been in war and was, sort of taught to be anti-war, my whole life and have sort of, been in that groove. Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was like, well, that's wrong. And now, as I read more about it and I talk to people in terms of being sensitive to the situation this Marine was into, the way war works, You know, because my first instinct is like, couldn't they have all four of them gotten up on this guy and, and turned him over or cuffed him or done something or made sure? But apparently, from talking to some of the Vietnam vets we're talking to now and also reading that piece about the from the British military, that, wounded people are an incredible threat.
Yes.
Which is something I never knew. And also, being sympathetic to the type of chaos and incredibly draining and hellish circumstances that these troops are involved in over there, I've had to, sort of reassess and be a little more sensitive to what is happening with this particular Marine and what is happening over there. Raji in Jacksonville, Florida, good morning.
Hey, Raji.
Hey, buddy, how y'all going this morning?
All right, man, how you doing?
All right. Well, look, a couple of things. First of all, I want to tell the first caller there, the other Vietnam vet to call in first.
Yeah.
Well, welcome home, brother.
Mm-hmm.
But look here, man. There's a couple of things. Just like you said, that guy could have been booby-trapped. If he was unarmed and he wanted to give himself up, he knew how to put his hands up and everything.
Sure.
Well, back day, man, they used to booby-trap the bodies of our guys, over Nam,
Yeah.
My biggest problem is this right here. Where are the people, that's criticizing this guy? They're sitting in the comfort of their own homes, enjoying the freedom this guy's over there trying to defend.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And that is one of the great paradoxes that came out of Vietnam. That there were people who served honorably in Vietnam, and they got home, and people called them baby killers. Because they really didn't understand that was a relatively small number of people that committed atrocities over there. And everybody ended up getting painted with a broad brush, and, it created a lot of lingering bitterness among a lot of Vietnam vets, and we risk the same thing happening here if we're not careful.
Thanks a lot for your call. Thanks a lot, Raji. But also, what we're dealing with, I don't think we can remove the politics of the situation from this that quickly, is that, defending our freedom in Iraq, they are there doing a job. Mm-hmm. Why they are there is still under question. There's no reason necessarily to just all of a sudden, accept the reasoning that why we went to Iraq. There's still a strong political narrative that says that, we shouldn't be there at all. It's a disaster. It's a quagmire. It's not clear, who these guys are that they're shooting necessarily. I mean, but they are doing their job as soldiers, and I think we have to isolate this event in terms of, it's a horrendous situation, they are under fire, and how did this guy behave? I mean, obviously we can't place the full blame on him, but because the situation is what it is,
But a human life is a human life,
right,
too.
And problems with, in talking about the Vietnam Wars and the reaction of the people to soldiers coming back, especially the left and to the movement against the war, was because they saw that this war was a political nightmare. We were there too long. We were there for the wrong reason. And a lot of these troops were misled by the administration that was in charge at the time. Not unlike now. If we are going to trace a blame, why is this guy there in the first place? I mean, that becomes another.
Well, yeah, and that's a very important point, Mark, because remember that under the scenario painted by Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, and that crew, this guy wouldn't have been there. He would have been picking up rose petals off the streets of Baghdad. There was not supposed to be this level of resistance for this long a time. When they were drawing up the scenarios for going into Iraq, when somebody said they needed a lot more troops, like Shinseki, for General Shinseki, Rumsfeld basically chumped him off.
And also, I might want to add that I have not heard, we have heard from some of the Muslim communities in within Iraq, and the Muslim, reactionary Muslims are speaking that, this is some indication, this is going to provoke them even more, but there's no, I'm not, listening to that. I'm trying to hear what Americans are saying, and I've not heard a tremendous amount of reaction quite yet from the left. I've not heard, anyone saying, this is wrong, this is awful, those guys are terrible. I've not heard any of that.
No.
What we're hearing is there needs to be, an investigation. What was the situation? Now what we're hearing from vets is essentially that, look, dude, if you've never been in it, shut your hole because, this is hairy stuff. Greg, listen to LIB in Brooklyn. How are you?
Hey, Greg.
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Okay,
good.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say I don't know the facts of this individual case, so obviously you can't judge the guy, but I am hearing so much hypocrisy about this that it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember, in 1991, the U.S. Army helicopter was shot down in El Salvador
mm-hmm.
by rebels there.
I remember.
And two of the three crew members survived, and they were shot and killed by the rebels. Their names were Colonel David Pickett and Private Ernest Dawson. And such a stink storm was created in this country about those murders, which we classified as violations of the Geneva Convention, that the rebels had to turn the individual rebels who killed those two guys over for prosecution. And Congress threatened to cut off aid to El Salvador if they weren't prosecuted.
Right.
So, you know, and you can say the same thing about those rebels, you know, war is hell, et cetera.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you can really. Though. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but what you're talking about is a situation where somebody was, a copter was shot down. These guys were prisoners of war, and they were executed without there being any question. I mean, that's an execution. I mean, from all indications, this is not an execution situation. This was still under fire area. There was still a hot zone. There had been no prisoners taken. This guy was not in custody. I mean, that sounds like a different situation to me.
There is a question that I have about why these guys who were there, who apparently had been there when the previous group of Marines had come through, why they were just left there. That sounds kind of strange to me. But, hey, you know, I'm sure there is some logical reason. But part of the problem here is that the group of the unit of Marines that this guy was with didn't know that the other guys had been there.
Well, that'll come out in the investigation. And let's not forget that these guys are there because of a lie.
Yes.
And we shouldn't forget that in this new Bush administration that, you know, this is not some glorious event. You know, these guys are there because they were sold on a lie. And now they're there just, you know, protecting their own asses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think we never should lose sight of that.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up in the next hour. Susan Jacoby is going to be here to talk about church and state.
Oh, she's great. I really enjoyed her when she came in before.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to talk to her, especially because, you know, there are people down south that are, you know, want to make the roads dirt again and bring back the wagon. And I'm not talking about all Southerners, of course. You know that.
Of course
I don't
not.
Do that because I know half of you are on the right side. And
yes.
By that, I mean the left side. There's the liberal agenda for today. Here are your marching orders from the Streisand compound. One, okay, Condi Rice is black. She is a woman, but she's not a lesbian, so it's still fair game to criticize her. Two, suggest Dr. Phil be named Secretary of Education. He taught me how to let go. Three, in most sarcastic voice, say, oh, we took Fallujah. I guess the war's over then, huh? Four, criticize the Incredibles for their cavalier attitude towards Miranda rights and due process. Five, I like when I can hear Chris laughing from the board on my mic. Five, today's phrase just dropping into conversation. You know why we forced Powell out, don't you? Because the humans are on the way out and Bush is bringing in robots, man. Robots! All right, so we got Susan Jacoby coming up.
We got Susan Jacoby. We've got Your Dream Diary. We've got The Birth of a Nation. And, of course, the all-important War on Brain.
Oh, great. Milfington's going to be
here. Milfington's coming through. That's absolutely true. All in the next hour of Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.
Sedition, fighting treason with reason on Air America Radio.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
You give me power, get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. There's no question that President Bush's choices for cabinet posts in the second term will certainly be held by people who parrot just what he and the administration wants. Report this morning, the New York Times quotes a senior official as saying that Bush decided months ago not to make an effort to retain the services of Secretary of State Colin Powell, who had long indicated his intention to leave. But an associate of Powell said the revered military figure and diplomat would have stayed if he had been asked. Bush made the decision to appoint Condoleezza Rice shortly after the election when she expressed an interest in returning for a second term. Rice's replacement is 57-year-old Stephen Hadley, who had already served under the retiring National Security Advisor in the first term. Hadley has been described as the quintessential staff aide and facilitator to make sure the president's policy train ran on time. But his record in the Bush White House contains a number of stains. One of them was his negligence to delete the controversial 16 words from President Bush's speech in July of 2003 about the alleged procurement of uranium by Iraq from an African nation. Turned out to be false information. CIA told Hadley the claim was weak, but he left the charge in the president's speech anyway. Listen.
The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
President Bush yesterday described Hadley as a man who has earned his trust. Stephen Hadley, if confirmed, will be the next National Security Advisor and is responsible largely for the blueprint on the handling of the post-war in Iraq, and that record now speaks for itself. Fatal shooting of a wounded and apparently unarmed man in a Fallujah mosque by a U.S. Marine angered Sunni Muslims in Iraq on Tuesday and raised questions about the protection of insurgents once they're out of action. International legal experts said the Marine may have acted in self-defense because of a danger that a wounded combatant might try to blow up a hidden weapon. A key issue was whether the injured man was a prisoner at the time. Shooting happened Saturday, one day after the Marine, who has not been identified, was wounded in the face, and after another man in his unit was killed by a booby-trapped body of an insurgent. However, the incident could cause major political problems for the government of Prime Minister Ayad Alawi and his U.S. backers at a time when Iraqi authorities are seeking to contain a backlash among Sunnis to the invasion of the former insurgent stronghold of Fallujah. And a 6-year sentence has been handed down to a 16-year-old Spanish youth after he pleaded guilty to charges he helped steal and transport the dynamite used in the March 11th Madrid train bombings. The juvenile was only identified by the initials GM because he's a minor. The sentence is a result of the first trial arising from the bombings, which claimed the lives of 191 people. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy? Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're just nodding off when suddenly... Don't you wish you could do something about these pesky car alarms? You can, and I'll tell you what. When we come back, we've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. If the monotonous whoop-whoop of car alarms has you putting in earplugs and pulling out your hair, you're not alone. According to a Columbia University study, almost 95% of all audible car alarms are false. But before you take out your sleep deprivation with a baseball bat, check your city's noise ordinance codes. Many alarms are considered a violation and ticketable offense. So what's the best bet for automotive protection? Alarm alternatives such as pager notification, GPS tracking systems, and electrical immobilizers essentially provide the same protection without all the, pardon the pun, bells and whistles. I'm Bobby Lycos. Lycos, you'll love us.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosophers, kings and queens, working class heroes, liberals in red states. How are you listening to us on your ham radio operations? Maybe underneath the, in the basement. It's so funny, isn't it, Riley, when we talk to people sometimes who are in red states, are like, hey, I can't talk too loud because, someone might know what's in there.
I might get lynched.
But, good morning, everybody. Conservatives, welcome. You're welcome as well.
That's right.
Progressives who have
we
no sense of humor.
We love you.
Progressives who hate me, welcome. Whoever's out there listening, I'm glad to have you. I really am. I'm glad to see you, Mark Riley.
Glad to see you, Mark Maron.
I've turned some corner in my life. I'm not sure what it is, but I feel that something has changed in my fundamental thinking.
Really?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I read this article here about sleep deprivation and obesity. So I'm glad that I nipped this thing in the bud. Because if some of you are listening know, I'm no longer eating the M&Ms. I'm not jamming the Dunkin' Donuts coffee. All right, I got myself some Nescafe, so I have a little more control over the drug I'm putting into my body. Because P.W. McDonald told me yesterday, I'm eating some nuts and berries now because I'm trying to stop the slow slipping into fatness that I feel occurring on my waistline. And apparently, my entire tone has changed. Because yesterday, Renee, our booker, when I told her I was using Splenda, which, by the way, is the miracle powder. Splenda is probably the best sweetener that is not sugar that I've ever had in my life. And if they find out that something is bad about Splenda, I'm going to have to, sort of make the same concession that my mother makes, the same compromise. My mother is a sweet and low addict, and even though I think it's slowly taking away her ability to reason, she'll stay by it. And she will continue to use it in service of
her. She's loyal.
Yeah. Well, she's completely afraid of any spare fat on her. So the Splenda thing. So I'm putting Splenda in my coffee, and Renee's like, why don't you just use sugar? And Brenda McDonald. And after that, she said, who was on the show this morning? But Brendan, P.W. McDonald. I'm sorry, Renee. I'm sorry.
You're not. It doesn't matter. You're not. Don't front.
She's not listening to the show.
You are not sorry.
If you're listening, why don't you call in and defend yourself, Renee? The number is 866-303-2270. If you're listening, this is your big test. Your job depends on it. So PW says, no. No sugar is fine, man. You don't understand. He's been completely dealable for the last 3 days. Because he has one bag of M&Ms, and right when he walked in, he's like, what? Is there a problem? What's going on? So the sugar thing is good. Just a quick update on my life for those of people who care or are concerned. My cats are now, the 4 stray cats I have, one of which has become my friend, one is on the fence, but 2 just, are just frightened, scared animals that will climb on me when they need food, all right? Mm. Well, they're now getting too big to give away. So I now have 4 cats that I'm starting to accept are my cats. And eventually I'm going to have to let them into the house because I still have them in my office, but I cannot manage the smell anymore. So they have to be free to. But I get into these conversations with the cats, Riley, where they're all on my bed. And I'm like, if you're going to be on my bed, 2 a year, you're going to have to learn how to be my friend. So get off,
But you got them all litter trained and stuff now, right?
No, litter's not. It's not an issue. They're just like they're getting spoiled and they eat too much. And I just two of them are still not my friends, and I'm mad at them, but I'm beginning to accept it because I like watching them. The woman who lives next door to me must be 100.
Uh-oh.
And now I'm starting, like, it's weird, because now I'm feeding the other cat, the mother of these kittens I have, which I had spayed because of this woman, Raquel, who helped me out and got her spayed. I feed that cat outside. I'm feeding the cats in my house. All right, so, like, this is it's starting to cost me a little bit. I got a, you know, pretty big nut just on cat supplies every month. And now the woman next door who I saw, who I rarely see, who lives there by herself, I don't think she has any family, was at the mailbox 3 days ago, last Friday, trying to wedge her apartment key into the mailbox hole. And I'm like, that's the wrong key. So I don't know what happened to the key. It's important, you know. So now, like, I don't know. I said I talked to the mailman. So now I think I've just made myself in charge of getting this woman her mail.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's not, and then there's a woman downstairs who's also getting a little older and apparently is taken to yelling at nobody in the middle of the night. Like this nice little woman who's so nice to me and we get along and, you know, I always see her. She's like probably 80. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I hear her in the hallways at night in her house screaming racial, you know, horrible, horrible things like for like 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just like, and then I see her in the hall. She's like, hi, Mark. How are you? And I don't think she's aware that she's doing. But anyway, so now, like, I feel like I'm slowly becoming this weird, you know, manager of stray people and stray cats, you know, and caretaker, which I don't mind, but it's a little awkward. I feel good about it. Maybe that. Well, I guess what I'm getting around to is that and the diet and the fact that occasionally can I cop to something?
Sure.
Occasionally, you know, I've been told by my therapist and by my doctor that it's okay to take 5 milligrams of Ambien occasionally to go to sleep because of the hours we work.
Now, Ambien is?
It's a non-narcotic sleep helper.
Okay. Not like heroin.
No, it's not like heroin.
It's a narcotic sleep
helper. It's not like Valium. It's not a diazepam. It's this new type of drug. But my friend Matt told me what Ambien does, and it gave me the willies.
What does it do?
So now I'm like, I don't even want to have anything to do with them. Basically, there's this series of drugs where apparently what it does, you take it, and it basically moves the dopamine in your brain to another part of your brain. Where it's not activated. Dopamine is the part that's a neurotransmitter that keeps you juiced. So it pulls the juice out of one part of your brain, stashes it in another for like 4 hours. And that's why, you know, if you take this stuff, all of a sudden you'll wake up like you've been hit in the head because, you know, when it wears off, all the dopamine just goes right back to where it's supposed to be. And you're like, hey, it's morning, you know, so that no more of that.
No more of that.
I probably shouldn't be taking it at all because, you know, I am a sober person. And but though I'm not using it recreationally, I'm using it appropriately. It could be habit-forming, so I'm pulling back from that. So now that I've confessed everything.
Uh-huh. Is that everything?
No.
You're not finished.
Here was the other thing. This is the story I read that apparently now this is a no-brainer, but the reasoning is kind of interesting. Weight loss experts have a prescription. Okay, listen to this. A very large study has found a surprisingly strong link between the amount of shut-eye people get and their risk of becoming obese. And now initially, I'm like, of course. I mean, if you're sleeping, you can't be eating. If you're sleeping, it cuts into your eating time. But apparently, those who got less than 4 hours of sleep a night were 73% more likely to be obese than those who got the recommended 7 to 9 hours of real good sleep, right? Those who averaged 5 hours of sleep had a 50% greater risk, and those who got 6 hours had 23% more. So the more sleep you get, the less likely. And you just think it was a time eating thing, but apparently, outside of that, there is a chemical. Sleep deprivation lowers leptin, a blood protein that suppresses appetite and seems to affect how the brain senses when the body has had enough food. Sleep deprivation also raises levels of ghrelin, I think it's pronounced, a substance that makes people want to eat. So dig this, man, because I've been worrying about my own weight, and I've been feeling like a little weird about, you know, how my body's been functioning because we're operating on these weird hours. But this would support the fact, because I only get like 4 or 5 a week. Yeah, you know, 4 or 5 a night, I mean.
Yeah.
So that these chemicals releasing in my brains are making me less, you know, they're making me more hungry. Is that possible?
It's entirely possible.
So Larson, you're off the hook. Larson's, you know, heavy into the can I talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead, talk about it.
I'm just saying.
You know you wanna.
He's doing the Weight Watchers.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And, you know, and I've done that back when I quit smoking. I put on like 25 pounds and I hated myself. And then I go to the Weight Watchers meeting and I didn't hate myself so much because there are people that hated me for being half the size they were. There's nothing. You never want to go to a Weight Watchers meeting if you're just looking to lose 10 pounds because the looks of contempt you'll get from fat people is just mind blowing.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Wait a minute. A Weight Watchers meeting isn't one of those, hey, I'm so-and-so and I'm fat, is it? It's not like
not
a,
really.
Not
no,
day,
no,
day.
You know, you go there and everybody gets excited about their points and their pounds. You get to weigh yourself and you get a little stamp. And it's like, yeah, I know.
You don't
dude.
Need validation from other people. If you want to lose the weight, stop eating.
Are you talking to yourself, Mitch?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But so what I was telling Jonathan, what I was telling Coach Larson, as he, you know, he compulsively grabs for his bag of peppers in the...
green peppers.
Is that it might have something to do with our hours, buddy. It might have something to do with the hours, you know?
Lord. I don't know. These hours just drive me crazy, man. I can't get a routine. I can't get a rhythm.
I got one yesterday, man. It was great. I went home. I cooked. I made some stuff. I went running. I did my work. I wrote a little bit. I took some time aside to hate myself and feel sorry for myself and got through that. And then, you know, I did what I had to do
that's
at night.
That's what I'm missing.
What? The self-hatred
thing? The self-hatred thing. I really have never hated myself much.
No, well, it's a lot of people would recommend against it, but it keeps me going. Like I try to, I take a little time to hate myself, and then I take a self hatred nap, the sleep of self hatred.
And how long do you sleep in this self hatred nap?
I could be anywhere from 10 to 45 minutes. I think I'll take one right now. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. It's not Marxism. It's Marxism. Mark Maron and Mark Riley every morning on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. With almost $4 billion thrown at federal political campaigns this cycle, it's clear that campaign finance reform was a joke. Those of us who want to break the corrosive links between politicians and their big bucks backers need a new strategy. Stopping dirty money from flowing into politics may be impossible, but there is a clean money way to ensure that no strings attached candidates can effectively compete. How? By adopting full public financing like the systems in use in Arizona and May. In this system, all candidates who raise a specified number of small contributions and agree to a spending cap are given full public financing. This prevents candidates from owing favors to big donors and ensures that politicians spend their time listening to citizens, not groveling for cash. And it diversifies the field. Latino and Native American candidates tripled after Arizona began public financing. In light of the billions the special interest fueled Congress is costing us, public financing is dirt cheap. It's the best investment we can make. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
You wear his jersey. He's your man. Leaving the ground from the top of the key. Slowly, flying, soaring. No one can hang with him. The ball is smothered by his hand, then crushed through the iron rim. One day he'll jump and just keep going in the thin air. Maybe that's how we'll finally leave the game.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world,
All voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the
cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
In a moment, we'll be talking to Susan Jacoby, the author of Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism, because we want to clear some stuff up for some of you who live in, I'm not going to say backwater or backward places, but there seems to be a misunderstanding of what the Founding Fathers intended in some areas. Not even going to say rural, just going to say wrong. right now, it's time for my dream diary, which I wrote this morning. Because I got a nice sleep and I woke up.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go.
No ambient either.
I'm a CIA spook and I just got back from a mind-blowing deep cover op in the mountains of Pakistan. I infiltrated a massive Al-Qaeda carousel and discovered irrefutable evidence of chemical weapons, biological weapons, and 50 dirty bombs. Plus, I saw a coded message saying there would definitely be a strike on Chicago November 26th at 11:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time. No time to waste. So I feverishly finish typing my briefing and ship it off to my supervisor. 5 minutes later, I hear a page. Agent Marin, please report to Agent Smith's office immediately. Agent Smith is wearing the black suit and the dark Ray-Bans. He says, Agent Marin, do you love this country? I say, yeah, absolutely. That's why I got into the CIA, to protect it. He says, do you think this report will protect the country? I say, yes, sir. Now that we have the intelligence, we can stop them. Agent Smith sits on the corner of the desk and says, Agent Marin, the only thing a report like this will do is upset the president. Do you call that patriotism? I say, I don't know, maybe. Agent Smith says, what if the president really needed a nap? Okay, and your report upset him so much that he was unable to take that nap, and then he faced the television cameras looking tired. What kind of message does that send to terrorists? I say, that he's working hard? Agent Smith says, no, Marin. It says Bush looks tired. We're getting to him. America's resolve against terrorism is wavering. He's putty in our hands. You Democrats are always missing the big picture with your reports and your facts. I say, but what about the weapons and the stolen message in Chicago? Agent Smith said, I'll send your information through proper channels. In the meantime, I'll expect your weak, liberal, disloyal, democratic resignation on my desk in 15 minutes. Goodbye, traitor. As I closed the door behind me, I could hear the sound of an industrial shredder destroying an important national security document and laughter. I'm sorry, Chicago. I tried. I woke up and my bed was filled with calligraphy pens. Calligraphy pens. Who knew?
Yeah.
Those are key. I just made that. Did you see what I just did?
That was all excellent. Right.
Thank you very much. I have a garbage can here, and occasionally we'll throw a little water at pieces. Did you notice that, Susan?
Yes.
It was pretty good. Yes. It was impressive. That voice that you don't recognize right off, maybe you do. Are your friends listening?
No. I could say that definitively.
Renee, a friend of yours?
Susan Jacoby is on the mic, again, the author of Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. She's director of the Center of Inquiry, Metro New York. Now, look, we've taken calls. There's evolution is back in the courts. Can we just make it clear to people that might not understand that it was the Founding Fathers' desire to have a secular country? Yes?
Yes.
And could you explain why and where that comes from?
Yes, when they wrote the, not a secular country,
right.
A secular government.
Right.
That's the whole thing that gets
I'm
all.
I'm sorry, I want a secular
all
country.
All
I'm
messed
sorry.
Up now. That's a whole other issue. We're not ever going to have a secular country. But anyway,
yeah.
They wrote a constitution which deliberately and after much debate left God out and instead said we the people in order to form a more perfect union. This was then debated at the state ratifying conventions. The Pat Robertsons of the day predicted that God would, quote, crush us to atoms in the wreck if we left God out of the Constitution. There were attempts by several states to amend that part of the Constitution. They all failed. Now, what happened then is the religious right of its day lost the battle for a religious constitution.
Right.
And by the way, it was the first secular founding document of a government in the world, because at that time church and state were united virtually everywhere.
Well, that's been the way that that people were managed. I mean, they know that the church held the power over the people, and
right.
that they could exploit the people's fears very easily by tapping into their religious center, their, you know, their manipulated lizard brains, and that would be
right.
it.
When you look back at it, historically, it's very obvious why. And by the way, the people who wanted a secular government were not all free thinkers or deists or anything like that. Some of them were religious people who are equally concerned about freedom of religion from government interference.
But were they in the Illuminati? That's the big question.
Oh, the Illuminati. It's too early in the morning for the Illuminati. It's sort of like space aliens and things like that.
Yeah. They are part of it, the space aliens. They all tie in. Well, of course, we are.
Well, they were here in the 18th century, too. That's why God isn't in the Constitution.
Exactly.
Space aliens kidnapped John Adams and people like that and made them somehow. Look, it's
enough said.
It's just so easy to understand, though. I mean, look at what a mess the union of church and state had made everywhere in the world. And so the founding fathers took a look at this. And by the way, at the time, our state governments, most of them did have established religions. And the people who wrote the federal constitution took a look at that and said, we don't want that. We want a different model for the American national government. And that will be a model in which there's no established church, in which you don't have to have any religion at all to run for public office, a very important provision of the federal constitution. And why would didn't they? I mean, they were 100 years removed from a time when Catholics and Protestants were massacring each other over the exact wording of the Lord's Prayer.
Wow. So how close are we in your eyes to this being a threat again, to the Constitution being amended or toward a movement of that?
Oh, I think that the religious right of today is much smarter than that. Amending the Constitution is very difficult. The Constitution isn't going to be amended to declare Jesus Christ the supreme authority, as a bunch of Protestant ministers wanted to during the Civil War. But there are just other ways to do this, and the Bush administration has found all of them. Look, I'll give you a good example. Not a word was said about this by the Democrats during the campaign. A few weeks ago, in the closing weeks of the campaign, the Bush administration announces proudly, trumpets blaring, the first faith-based health insurance plan for government workers.
Mm.
It is a plan based on the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church being offered to federal employees in Illinois. Doesn't cover contraception, abortion, all of that.
Well, we're going to come back and finish this discussion, because a lot of people are saying Democrats should figure out a way to be more religious and pander to the religious right. I want to hear what you have to think about that. We're talking to Susan Jacoby. We will continue talking to her in just a second. Her book is A History of American Secularism, Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. So stay with us here on Air America Radio.
And Mark Riley,
waging a war of words against stupidity.
Morning Sedition
on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered CortiSlim once. They've ordered CortiSlim again. So many people have found that CortiSlim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Don't go in the paint. He's a giant. That's where he lives. He owns it. Offense and defense. Boards, screens, picks and rolls. How can he move that quickly? Man, he's got fast feet for a big guy. Shots up. Erased. Swatted to his point guard waiting on the wing. Easy score. Don't go in the paint.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Canto, your fresh grocer, and today's tip of the day is going to be with Golden Kiwi. Now, Golden Kiwi is becoming more popular. It just started coming into the market a few years ago, but lately more people are enjoying it because they're realizing that the acidity level in that kiwi is very low. Green kiwi has a high acidity level, and the mild flavor of the Golden Kiwi is fantastic. When you buy them, you want to make sure that that skin's got a light brown color all the way around. And Golden Kiwi has less fuzz around the skin than the green kiwi do. Now, the Golden Kiwi, when you bring them home, store them on the counter. But unlike the green kiwi, the Golden Kiwi won't last as long. The shelf life is shorter because there's more sugar in there. When they have a nice give to them all the way around, that's when you enjoy them. And they're loaded with nutritional value. If you never tried a Golden Kiwi, give them a try. For more information and tips, just go to TonyTantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, 34 past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley, with a mouthful of bagel. You're listening to Morning's Edition. We're going to resume our conversation with Susan Jacoby in a moment. But first, since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 142. Leaders of Iraq.
Good morning, yes. So I hear that most of your insurgents are homegrown Iraqis and not a bunch of foreign agitators. Yeah, I know. We've been telling everyone just the opposite for months, so we were wrong. That doesn't bother us so much anymore. And anyway, I think it's a damn good idea. You're just following a good old-fashioned American philosophy. Never trust a foreigner. Right, okay, good. You're right. That includes me. Why should you trust me? Go ahead. Shoot at me. Ah, missed. Anyway, foreigners just dilute your culture. You don't want to end up with a crazy melting pot like we have. I mean, America's got Irish problems out the wazoo. And the Dutch, Jesus, the pushy Dutch. Are you kidding me? Okay, you're right. I'm off topic. Iraq for Iraqis. That's what I'm saying. Besides, when it gets down to the ugly fighting, who are you going to trust? Syrian mercenaries? Moroccans? Please. Those guys are just like tourists with guns. Well, look, I resent that. We are not tourists with guns. We're here to bring you democracy and freedom. We've been over that 100 times. You don't listen, do you? Just listen. The fact that your insurgents are almost entirely Iraqi is actually convenient for us. That means we don't have to kill everyone in the Middle East all at once. Besides, we don't have nearly enough troops or bullets to do that. But you didn't hear that from me. So good luck and God bless. And by God, I mean our God. This is day 142 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Susan Jacoby, I interrupted you in the middle of telling me what a faith-based insurance policy is. I apologize.
Oh, well, anyway, it goes through an outfit called the Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis, who run 6 Catholic hospitals in Illinois. It doesn't cover contraception, abortion, artificial insemination, any high-tech infertility. The church doesn't approve of that either. Now, why this is so terrible...
They like people to get pregnant the old-fashioned way, by accident.
Absolutely. Also, they believe that any form of conception, which so often when infertile couples get treated, it's done in vitro or through some form of artificial insemination, that anything that doesn't involve straight sex, as we say, is an evil way to conceive. But anyway... But what, you know, our tax dollars at work. I mean, what's next? A Jehovah's Witness health plan that bans blood transfusions?
Right.
People would think that's ridiculous, and it shows how wrong the whole thing is, because now government officials are in the business of deciding which religion is mainstream enough to qualify for tax dollars.
And that's how they're circumventing the amendment process.
Right. I mean, some of these things will undoubtedly be challenged in court someday, but we know what kinds of judges George W. Bush has pledged to try to appoint.
Right.
Incredible. You're familiar with the situation in Cobb County, Georgia, where they're fighting these stickers that they put in the textbooks.
Right.
I'm curious, from your point of view, what is wrong with the concept of intelligent design?
What's wrong with the concept of intelligent design? Well, us. There's nothing wrong with the concept of intelligent design as a religious concept. Intelligent design is believed in by people who believe that every, you know, his eye is on the sparrow. Every little creature on earth was created by God. And so all of these things, which not only Darwin's theory of evolution, but more importantly, modern discoveries about DNA and genetics say, which is so much in human evolution, is a combination of circumstances and accidents, how various species evolved. And that of course, you know, look, scientifically, if everything was designed by one person, they would have, you know, why would God go to all this trouble to have all these species die out? I mean, you know, why create a species of dinosaurs just to die out?
And wouldn't everything have like the sort of evolutionary equivalent of the Nike swoosh on it?
But what's wrong with teaching intelligent design in schools is that it's a religious belief. It's not a scientific belief.
And kids deserve a fact-based education.
Yes, and it's the function of churches or parents who believe in this to say, look, we don't, what moderate religion has done, and this is a fundamentalist concept, by the way, because most mainstream religions, including the Catholic Church, adapted to evolution ultimately by saying, look, evolution can be the mechanism by which God chose to, chose to create the world. That's different from intelligent design, which posits an entire God-driven thing from start to end. And it's a religious concept, and there's nothing wrong with it if you're a religious fundamentalist.
So you just say that Adam and Eve were actually, you know, single-celled organisms.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not.
Yeah, and the Bible picks up when they turn into something better, by which time they've done the guy. You know, people capable of lying and sinning, and this is the Creator's plan.
Yeah, there's just a little backstory that lasted a few million years.
Yeah.
Is this, in your judgment, an incremental step towards something bigger than just putting a sticker in a textbook? I mean, what is their end game here?
Well, I think the end game, and again, we should be clear, it's fundamentalist, not religion. One of the worst things about this era we're living in is the word religion has been hijacked by the religious right, as if everybody who were religious was also a fundamentalist.
I get a lot of flack for it.
Yeah.
They think I'm lumping all Christians into
Right. Well, it's important to say their end game is to intimidate school boards and teachers and school principals so that they don't use the word evolution at all in class. That's their end game. And many parts of the country they've succeeded. Not here in New York City, you know, where we're talking from, but in lots of areas of the country, and I've done a lot of speaking this year as a result of my book, the word evolution is never mentioned in high school biology classes because teachers and school boards have been intimidated by these people. That's censorship at a level that you don't see.
Wow. The book is called Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. We're talking to Susan Jacoby. Now, what about this idea that Democrats should figure out a way to speak religion?
I am completely opposed to this idea, and of course, I know the Democrat National Committee is going to hire me as a consultant tomorrow.
They should.
But in fact, Democrats have been very intimidated by the religious right.
Yes.
And certainly John Kerry, who was nevertheless perceived as the secular candidate, did not speak forthrightly. You didn't hear anything about this faith-based health insurance, for example, from him. Because Democrats are now so scared that they feel that any challenge to union of church and state is perceived as anti-religious. I think, seriously, one of the things Democrats must do in the next 4 years is learn how to talk about separation of church and state and say, forget about the fundamentalists. You can't argue with people who believe the earth was literally created in 6 days, but they're not the majority. They're maybe at most 20% of the population, and they are always going to vote for candidates who represent the religious right. But there are other religious people who don't believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible, and to those people you can say, you can have your faith and believe in separation of church and state. That was exactly what many of the founders of the country did. And, you know, I recently lectured at the University of Central Arkansas, which is a smaller state university north of Little Rock, and many of the students didn't entirely agree with my ideas, but they would begin their questions. They would say things like, I'm a Christian, but I believe in separation of church and state. I'm a Christian, but I believe that homosexuals should have the same civil rights as anyone else. Now, in other words, they're people who are defined in part by their religion, and they're looking for a way for people to tell them that they can believe in secular government, too.
Great. Well, let's take some calls from the people. 866-303-2270. We're talking to Susan Jacoby. If you'd like to talk to her, too, call us. We'll be back in a second. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Join the Morning Sedition. Call 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I have these nightmares. This taco. Not just an ordinary taco, but this big, evil taco is haunting me. You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner?
Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
Serious. Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN? Your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in?
I thought you'd like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Hey, whoa.
Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
And I'll be back to my normal self and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend I'm the same way, but this time... I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Our guest is Susan Jacoby, the author of Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. We are talking about church and state, and we were just talking about the religious right. And it's turning out that, as she said, the majority of people still believe in the separation of church and state. And there's a lot of propaganda coming out of the fundamentalist movement that is really affecting us because of the outcome of this election. But let's not forget, in most of the red states, there's a very large contingent of people that are thinking properly. Like us.
That's right.
All right, so let's take a couple of calls. We've got Brandon in Hollywood, Florida. Good morning.
Hi, Brandon.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
What's your question?
First, I wanted to say that I was a volunteer for Move On, and I'm still angry.
Yeah.
I haven't accepted the fact that they say he won. I haven't accepted the fact that it was legitimate. There's a lot of reports coming out. And I just wanted to say I appreciate everything you guys are doing and keeping the truth out there, because I think you're a dying breed. I know you're just coming up, but if you're eliminated, then that's it. It's over.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be a recount at the behest of the Libertarian and Green Party candidates in Ohio.
In Ohio,
so we'll see
yeah.
if that happens. So you have a question for Susan?
Yeah, I do. I have a friend of mine that's a theology teacher. It's actually a friend of mine's mother, and I debated with her until I was red in the face. I mean, any fact that was necessary, it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered to her was the fact that she couldn't vote for someone that was pro-choice. And when I brought up the question of church and state, she told me that there is no possible separation because religion is within you, and it is a part of you, and inherently you cannot separate it. I mean, what do you think about that?
Thanks for your call, Brandon.
It's an interesting question.
Well, you know, one of the things, I think that's the kind of person the Democrats have to forget about as a voter. In other words, you can't forget about them in your personal life.
Yeah.
But I think those people cannot be appealed to. But they're a very small part of the electorate. I mean, if you look at this famous thing about 22% said moral values mattered most to them, when you break that down, only a small proportion of the press just always thinks moral means sex. But in fact, a lot of them were thinking about the war in Iraq. Only some of them were thinking about abortion. Mm-hmm. You can't change people's minds like that by arguing. But what you can do with other religious people who want to hold both ideas in their heads, which is a sign of intelligence, is you can say, look, I mean, of course your religion is within you and other people's religion is within them, but we have to make laws based on a kind of consensus, laws which are acceptable to the majority of people.
Democratic, maybe?
Not laws which reflect the viewpoint of one religion. And I think that that religious people respond to that. Again, not the kind of people the caller was talking about,
right,
but a lot of religious people.
Well, let's talk to Mike in Columbus, Ohio. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys doing?
Good. All right.
What's on your mind?
Oh, gosh. This is a beautiful subject for me to talk about. I grew up in a household with a fundamentalist mother.
Mm-hmm.
I turned very, very much against her belief.
Mm-hmm.
I then married a woman who, after I divorced her, turned into a fundamentalist Christian.
Wow. So you've just created another one of your moms out there.
Huh? There's wreckage all around me. And I had a daughter with this woman, and now she's turning my daughter onto this, and it's highly disturbing. And I guess I have the frustration that everyone else does, where you cannot talk to these people because they, you know, both of these women believe in the 6 days or 7 days.
And the rapture.
6,000-year-old earth rapture.
Right.
Everything.
Right. So what's your question? What do we do to...
My question is, other than pulling out a cudgel and beating the crap out of both of them, who in American politics is it going to take to talk to these, not the fundamentalists, but the fringe religious people? And is there anybody on the Democratic side that anyone knows of that can talk to these people and pull them in?
Well, we'll make some inquiries, but we'll try and address that question. Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. I don't know. You know, the weird thing about that last call, the call before his about that you're born with this religious thing, is that, you know, one of my favorite books is Ernest Becker's Denial of Death. And he makes an argument on some level that people aren't born with religion, but they do evolve over time, that there has evolved a need to believe in something, which I think is probably true. So that also gives hope to political movements as well, and hopefully somebody can cross this gap. Do you see anybody?
Well, I mean, I think that there are probably a lot of people who could cross this gap if they had some courage. I think the Democratic Party is full of people who can cross this gap. But what we've seen in the last 4 years, and last actually to some extent in the last 20, is people who are too cowardly, who've decided that people are too stupid to understand that separation of church and state offers protection for both religion and government. Now, Kerry, I will give him credit, tried, but he didn't try hard enough. His personality was such that whatever he said was very cautious and very opaque. And, you know, you can't get anywhere by backing away from who you are. That's what I would tell a Democratic National Committee. They're not going to be perceived as less secular because they evade these issues. They should take them on and say, look, you know, we stand for religious liberty and for separation of church and state, and then we're going to tell you what that means, and those of you who don't like this aren't going to vote for us anyway.
Well, that's a great way to end our conversation. I think Susan Jacoby is the author of Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism, and the director of the Center for Inquiry, Metro New York. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
I think you should hang out because I want you to hear this.
I will.
This next guest. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the four-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from The War on Brains.
Thank you, George and Condi. Dateline, the Twilight Zone, a very stupid place deep within a cornfield, where so many innocents have languished since they were wished there by George W. Mooney. It's a pop culture reference, people, get over it. November 17th, it is now 2 weeks from that fateful day when our great citadel of empirical thought was laid siege by an out-of-control gaggle of hebetudinous apes. And though things may look kind of bad now, there is a positive side. It took the South 140 years to pay the North back for ending slavery. So chew on that while you're waiting for all those Canadian visas to arrive. In the meantime, the battle continues for those of us who refuse to leave this country due to patriotism, love of liberty, and 20-year-old felony convictions. Hey, you're not drunk or nude if you're in your own front yard. And I was nowhere near the sidewalk. Anywho, seizing the 3% mandate bequeathed him by this land's great lumpen proletariat, President Jobber Noel will now almost certainly expose what's left of our failing educational system, including his high schools, to the most insidious adolescent torment since Ricketts. The No Child Left Behind Act. More embarrassing than an uncontrollable math class boner, the actions of this malapropistic nincompoop are sure to affect this country's future gene pool worse than the time Kraft Foods debuted Velveeta with lead. Velveeta with lead. A good source of protein. And lead. For in due time, our fearless leader plans to replace Education Secretary Rod Page, if that's his real name, a friend who once called the country's largest teachers union a terrorist organization, with a woman who has no experience running a school system whatsoever. Shameful. Ignominious. But what more can you expect from a man who cut classes at Harvard while his classmates study their asses off to become overrated comedy writers? The answer is a big lead-filled, huh? I can't remember. I'm anemic and I think I have gout. So now, till next time, freedom fighters, teach your kids some street smarts because that's where they're going to end up living. And that's today's dispatch from
The War on Race.
Hey, wow. Thanks, Mort. Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Good to see you, man.
Didn't just call me Condi, did you?
No, that was producer Larson told me to say that.
Oh, okay. Wow. Coach Larson. Yeah. So Mort, what do you got going today?
I got nothing going. This is my whole life. I've centered my life around this very moment.
Yeah, well, you know, you did it. You're doing
That's pathetic.
Hey, thanks, Lane. I didn't ask for your opinion.
You belong in Washington.
Hey, you need religion.
Oh!
All right, thanks.
Oh, that hurts.
Thanks, Mark. Always good to
whatever.
See you.
Hey, Mark, by the way, did you know
what?
That there are some employees at an office building in Little Rock, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Which I think, didn't you say you were in Arkansas recently?
I was.
Okay, well, the employees have been asked to leave their deer hunting rifles home because the president and three former presidents are coming to town to open Bill Clinton's presidential library. This was a memo that was distributed to 420 employees of the Axiom Corporation in its 12-story sales and marketing building.
So take them off the racks, guys.
Yeah, put them away. Leave them on the truck.
The unarmed pickup today.
Leave their deer hunting rifles at
home.
In other words, these people bring them to the office.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
We got the next hour of Mornings Edition coming up. We got the Palm Pilot. We've got special guest Michael Massing. We've got Planet Bush and more here on Air America Radio.
SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business, has helped millions of entrepreneurs, and they can help you too. Call upon SCORE for free and confidential business advice. SCORE can help you start a small business or take your business to new heights. If you'd like confidential, no-fee counseling so you can improve your business, call SCORE for assistance. 1-800-634-0245. That's 1-800-634-0245.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist. My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The White House earlier this week threw cold water on a Newsday story that President Bush had directed the leadership of the CIA to conduct a purge of agency operatives who failed to toe the company line. White House said the paper's suggestion was just simply not true, but new intelligence chief Porter Goss has been quoted as saying in a recent agency memo that the work of agency employees is to support the administration and its policies in our work. Goss made clear in the memo that as agency employees, we do not identify with, support, or champion opposition to the administration or its policies. Goss's memo went out late Monday, shortly after the Newsday article appeared. Current and former administration officials have confirmed that President Bush appears adamant about micromanaging his second term and all those who are in it. Evidence of this is the president's recent instruction to his new national security team and the running battles between the state and defense departments and the Central Intelligence Agency. Bush said he would personally get involved if the current tug of war prevails and impedes in any way his foreign policy aims. American deaths in Iraq this month is slowly approaching the 100 mark. The death toll is making the month the second deadliest since American forces invaded the country in March of 2003. Pentagon records show the worst month was last April with 135 deaths around the time the insurgency stepped up its campaign against the U.S. in a series of fierce battles in Fallujah. Worst fears of the family of international care figure Margaret Hassan have been realized. Al Jazeera Television yesterday said it received a videotape shooting of a blindfolded woman in the head. Hassan's family in London said the longtime director of care in Iraq was the likely victim. This according to Jack Straw, the British Foreign Secretary. Care said it was in mourning for the 59-year-old British humanitarian known around the Mideast for her work in Iraq, especially during the years of the UN sanctions. Bush administration is asking Congress to quickly lift a ban on U.S. export-import bank loans in Libya. Administration's request underscores the timing as being critical to assist American businesses investing in the oil-rich country. Major Western oil companies are interested in investing in Libya's energy sector. African nation is believed to have 36 billion barrels of proven oil reserves, with 12 fields holding at least a billion barrels each. Critics say Bush is rushing to ease economic sanctions on Libya to benefit his corporate friends. White House says that's simply not true. House Republicans are meeting today to give their leaders some political cover. They'll be voting on change in party rules to ensure that Tom DeLay keeps his post as House Majority Leader, even if a Texas grand jury indicts him. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Welcome home, Greg.
Who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN? Your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought you'd like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars. And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Hey, whoa.
Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Tanya emails wanting to know what I think of home warranties. I'll tell her after this.
Money, money, money. Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Tanya emails with a home warranty question.
How do you feel about home warranties like Home Shield? Listen, let's talk about all kinds of warranties. Extended warranties on cars, home warranties, prepaid legal, any kind of insurance like that. Let's think about it. If we were to sell 1,000 people that $300 item, that would be $300,000 of income that we had, right? If we owned the insurance company, you and I owned Home Shield. That means if we sold 1,000 people that, we'd have $300,000 of income. Now, what would our expenses be? All the things that the 1,000 people turned in that broke on their homes. Now, you can bet, since this is an insurance company, that they have done a statistical analysis, and they know that that's going to be well less than $300,000, can't you? So why don't you just get in the insurance business on extended warranties and self-insure through these things with Grandma's Rainy Day Fund, and then you get to put all the marketing budget and the profit and all those things in your pocket. There's a plan.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, Buddhas, poets, working class heroes, progressive utopians who feel that fish should not be killed because it hurts them. That's a little pet story of the day. Let's blow through some of these real quick. Tofu, here you go. The Fish Empathy Project is a campaign that reflects a strategy shift by people for the ethical treatment of animals as it challenges a dietary component widely viewed as nutritious and uncontroversial. Apparently, they're concerned that fish are feeling a little more pain and are a little smarter than we're letting on. I got to tell you, I understand you might be right. But what else am I going to eat if I can't eat the meat and I can't eat the fish? I mean, what?
Save the shrimp? Love the lobster?
Yeah.
Is that what this is all about?
Well, I think it's, obviously there are some smart fish and there are fish that are like, you know, but I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, how smart are they really? Like, look, it's coming to the surface for its food. It's a genius. I don't know. Maybe I'm mocking people.
But, and, you know, PETA gets upset when you say that you kill animals based on their intelligence. Look, these folks just never seem to run out of causes to...
It's what you call a boutique cause. And now they're expanding it. And obviously some of it not diminishing what it's supposed to be, but I think there are some bigger problems right now. How about this? A woman who wrote books about ways to profit from government loopholes was charged Tuesday with stealing almost $83,000 from Social Security.
Genius!
That's enough said.
And I got a couple of lost causes for you, Merrick.
You do.
Two lost causes.
Okay.
All right. Number one, there is a ball player here in New York, baseball player by the name of Gary Sheffield, just finished second in the most valuable player balloting. Gary Sheffield revealed yesterday that he was the victim of a shakedown artist who threatened to release an X-rated videotape of his wife and a professional musician, that professional musician being the much maligned R. Kelly.
The much maligned for liking to take himself having sex with people.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, allegedly with underage girls.
Right.
That hasn't been proven yet. I think there may still be a court case on that.
So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think that story tells us, Mark Rowe?
Well, it tells us a guy named Derek Mosley is in deep trouble because he's been arrested.
He's in trouble.
Well, yeah, he tried to shake down Gary Sheffield, apparently. This guy, Derek Mosley, is a, quote, self-styled community activist from Chicago with a checkered past. This guy calls Sheffield's business manager and said someone anonymously sent him this videotape, which was supposedly made 10 years ago,
right,
of his wife, of Sheffield's wife, R. Kelly, and another woman.
Was he his wife then? Was she the wife then?
No, they weren't. They had only been married 4 years.
Right. And she was a gospel singer?
She was a gospel singer. She was a gospel sensation at the age of five. So you went from 5 years old being a gospel sensation to 18 years old and doing X-rated videos.
Well, sometimes being saved wears off. It's something you have to reinvigorate every few years. If you don't refresh your being savedness, then you might slip down the slope. I mean, isn't that the whole idea of it?
Is this like a car waxing or something? Is that?
It's kind of like that. And I think that that the deeper you go into the darkness of sin, that when you come back out, you got a deeper resonance in your gospel singing voice. So maybe she was just doing some research, my friend.
Well, let me tell you, talk about research. Derek Mosley then calls up and says that the tapes would be worth millions of dollars to the tabloids and wanted Sheffield to hire him as a spiritual counselor to his wife to the tune of 20,000 big ones.
So follow the money.
Yeah, so he got busted. Now, the other thing that is in the news that is just baffling to me is the story about the Monday Night Football intro from the other Monday night.
The Housewives on the Brink, or what's that
desperate
called?
Desperate Housewives.
Like that,
Desperate Housewives starring Nicolette Sheridan.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, it was an intro that showed her trying to talk Terrell Owens, the star receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles, who were actually playing that night. Into not playing in the game and hanging out with her.
Right.
And during the course of this intro, she drops a towel. She's naked.
Yeah.
And then she jumps into his arms and he says, "Well, I'm just not going to be able to play no ball tonight."
Yeah.
Now, aside from the obvious interracial firestorm that this sort of thing might
you think it was
create,
about that?
I don't know. I mean, they got a whole bunch of calls and emails. ABC apologized. The NFL apologized. Everybody's running away from it now, saying, "Well, it shouldn't have been done." Well, hey, you all don't look at this before you start?
Right.
You don't have, I mean, there's no quality. Kalo made the point. There's NFL logos all over the locker room where this whole scene took place.
Well, they do a lot of that, what do you call it, cross-promotion it pollutes everything, and I think that was what they were trying to do here, and I guess they're getting flack from some of those sort of like, you know, marginal sort of uptight family groups that are, you know, Christian-based organizations that, you know, have a problem they have a problem with any flesh, but if somebody's getting their head cut off, they're willing to let that go.
They're willing to let that be shown, but see, the amazing thing to me about this is that these, you know, they're upset about the possibility that kids might have seen this scene.
Yeah.
Now, bottom line, if kids are not watching Monday Night Football, they're watching Monday Night Raw, the product of the WWE. Our good friend Mick Foley, who's been in with us a couple times, he's worked for the WWE for a while. They have sexual scenes in there that are just as steamy, if not steamier, than this.
And if they're not watching that, they're on the internet looking at porn while their parents are watching Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a weird ecosystem the way this all works.
Well, see, this is unfettered capitalism. People seem to think that America has some limit to its ability to be titillated, whatever. And
I think there is a limit. I actually think that we will hit the limit. You know, after 4 years of Bush, this place will be completely, all the people that didn't vote because they're so consumed with sort of like, you know, sitting at home, you know, masturbating like monkeys to internet porn and, you know, force feeding themselves, you know, ice cream and candy bars and going out and shopping. That eventually,
anybody you know?
Me.
Oh.
But, of course I voted. The rest is untrue.
No,
but eventually people will hit a wall. And I think the problem is that they're not going to feel it. They're just going to become almost like drones. That's what I think is going to happen. It's happening.
I think you're right.
They're going to be numbed. But that doesn't mean that these guys should have the right to filter, you know, what we see and do. It doesn't mean we have to be Victorian again. But certainly unfettered capitalism, I think, as you rightfully call that, is going to create all of this, this overstimulation. It's going to engage it because the money's there.
Yeah. And see, everybody's gotten deathly afraid of Michael Powell, who, by the way, unlike his dad, is not leaving. He is apparently staying on as FCC commissioner.
But isn't Michael Powell really trying to just negotiate? He's a bad guy, clearly, but it seems to me that what he's about is not moral, anything other than negotiating standards by which, you know, media companies can become monopolies and have some sort of set of guidelines that they can, you know, screw the most people possible.
Well, yeah, and see, it is through that screwing, actually, that this kind of stuff takes place. That's what I believe. It's just my own opinion. I think that you know, the kind of media consolidation that we've seen, the corporate nature of a lot of media, almost demands, for the sake of profit, by the way, that media companies produce stuff that people are going to watch in large numbers, and they know that stuff like Desperate Housewives, stuff with sexual content, draws people like flies, and they're not really concerned about anything else.
Right, so it, not unlike our talk with Susan Jacoby, like, you know, what's it going to cost the media companies to lose the small percentage of, you know, fanatical, repressive, Victorian, you know, people that are always speaking out against it? What does that really cost? Is that most of the country? I don't think so.
Desperate Housewives was number two on the top.
There you go. Sordid, weird stuff is what everybody wants. And that's not even that sordid. It's just a little sad and like... But it's, I guess, hot.
I've never seen it. But, I mean, you know, the other thing about this is, of course, Terrell Owens has never met a camera that he couldn't promote himself in front of. I mean, the guy is a publicity hound. He's just, he's one of those guys, he almost makes you sick just the way he self-promotes.
I thought that piece was a little, the weird thing, the most weird thing about it was, it's just, you know, it wasn't... I thought it was a little flat, and I didn't think that she was that compelling. And it was just, it made her look desperate and pathetic. Is that what she plays on the show? See, now I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to check out that show.
Desperate Housewives, just to see if she's as desperate
as she is. So work me, man.
Are you saying that she's desperate because she's with Terrell Owens?
Dude,
A black man?
Did you see the ad?
I saw the second half.
And what did you think of that ad?
I thought, wow.
How does she look? Yeah, you did? All right, so I guess that I didn't know.
No.
Welcome to Riley Town.
Oh, God.
Yes. 15 past the hour. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Mills from REM, and you are listening to Mark and Mark on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
Planet. Ocean warriors, beware of alga blooms. Matt McClain from the Surfrider Foundation explains.
When the nitrates from the sewage reaches the ocean, it basically acts like a fertilizer, and so all the algae and other organisms in the ocean feed upon that, and we have what's called harmful alga blooms.
Because these algae are so pervasive in the water, it causes other species like sea lice to feed on the algae.
You've been seeing swimmers going into the water, getting stung by sea lice, and then coming out with just horrible rashes.
These rashes look like the worst case of chicken pox. For days afterward, it feels like you're on fire.
In some cases, causing systemic allergic reactions, requiring them to go to the hospital, and two cases have been life-threatening.
Go to surfrider.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives $1 towards the education on internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the internet. Childabuseunit.com.
1 pound hammer.
I got serious in August because I really wanted to hear the NFL, and I didn't even know you were on, and I had to get traded 4-6. I'm sitting in fucking traffic. I'd be pulling my hair out if I wasn't.
George from Alabama.
Now it's going to be on where I can actually listen.
Friday was his go-out night.
Oh, I got you.
Monday to Thursday. You was
hurry up.
Sharon Z, what's your favorite station?
Oh, no.
Nice. Jim Brewer, Unleashed, weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
1 Pacific.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog. 147. Comedy. Uncensored.
Except here.
Promo. What are you gonna do?
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving out 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name 3 kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name 3 kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Yes! Yes! Bon Scott was the best. Listen to that. Oh, man. I feel like I'm in the back of my buddy's Firebird. Yeah, just my head sort of rolling around between 2 Jensen triaxles, blasting AC/DC, trying not to throw up my Jack Daniels. That was high school until my junior year when I started hanging around with college kids. Then the car changed, and it became a different sort of scene. Hey, Mark Riley, do you know what show this is?
This is Morning's Edition. Excuse me.
I'm Mark Maron, and that's Mark Riley. And now it's on John Ramon, who apparently Ray Ray is up for a cabinet post, so he's been giving this guy John, who looks like Eminem, came by and delivered the Palm Pilot, and it's Condi Rice's today, so here's Condi's schedule for today. Wow. 5 a.m., wake up. Order the sun to rise. Time, its response. 5:30 a.m., 500 crunches, 500 reverse crunches. My husband, the president, likes me toned. 6 a.m., insert metal stabilizing rods into hair. Use mallet to fashion into girlish flip. 6:30 a.m., talk to mom. Assure her the new job is not just a secretary. 8 a.m., receive briefing about stockpiles of biological weapons in Malaysia. Note, don't burden my husband, this president, with this. Hasn't he done enough for us? 11 a.m., review Colin Powell's plans for crisis in the Sudan. Note, low priority, the place is full of black people. 3 a.m., relax to music, The Carpenters, Air Supply, Bread, Dan Fogelberg. 9 p.m., stroke my husband's, the president's hair, and call him my brave little man. Wait until sleep and spit bubbles come. Midnight, slip into Catwoman outfit, meet President Batman in the alley. That's that. You know, this is, you know, Condoleezza Rice is the gal, the neocon death cult, gynolacky, Tomette, uber daddy's girl, smiling with those big teeth, just saying, look at me, I can skate, I can play, I can speak Russian, I can let people die without blinking an eye, all while I'm playing the piano.
Now, you know, our newsman, Wayne Gilman, came in here and took me to task for not saying with absolute certainty that Condoleezza Rice is a Tom.
That's right. That was a good moment between you and Wayne. I like when Gelman calls you.
Yeah, I know.
He's
when
like,
I finished cursing him out.
Yeah, I think
but
that was...
I mean, look, she is what she is. I've never quite been...
Now there's trouble. Gelman has come in here.
She is a Tom.
Okay, see now, she is,
in fact, refer to her as Mrs. Tom. Thomasina.
Here we go.
The highest order.
She's always looking at you.
Oh, please. I don't have to meet the woman.
I went with Tomette.
That's appropriate.
All right,
but why didn't you out Riley when you asked him if, you know...
Because I don't feel like it's always right for me to do that, Wayne.
Yeah. Listen, you feel like one of us now. I mean, you've worked with us now for what?
it's all right.
Exactly. You know.
Thank really? You very much. Come on, man. Let's go uptown.
Feel a little better than your skin anyway. And the fact is that she's just going to rubber stamp everything Bush wants.
Right.
You know?
Okay, so that would definitely categorize her as a Tom.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just trying to figure out how long it takes to get this hair. But she's on the front page of the New York Times.
Look at that. Look
at that hair.
Looks like a helmet.
That's what you say. What'd you say, Riley? Get a room. Look at that.
Get a room.
That's
leave it to him.
Right.
Do you think that...
Wayne, that could be you, man.
No, don't even try that. Don't even try that. You ruined my reputation, man.
What?
Oh, me? You got a reason?
What? The ages, right?
Oh, look at this. I think we're going to get you a little dozen session.
No.
Thanks,
Wayne. Look, I don't know if she's a Tom or not. I don't really care. She's the Secretary of State. She is America's face to the world.
Hey,
so says Bush.
Wayne. Yeah. Colin Powell, Tom or no Tom?
You know, he had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, I really thought that at one point that he was actually going to give up his role with the White House and just be honest. I mean, just be like one of us,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And even after that appearance that Harry Belafonte had made on Larry King one night and basically outed him, that was not enough. So he's the Tom Supreme.
Whoa!
You know?
Yeah, but he just got out, man. Doesn't that count for anything? Doesn't he get any style points for resigning?
For familial reasons.
That's
what he said. He says he's leaving for familiar reasons.
Comey showed him
and
the door.
It's in the papers.
That's why he's gone.
Riley.
Hush she
up.
Showed him. George W. Bush.
I know this is your
book, boy.
You know.
There's the door.
Wow.
He said, yo, it's time for you to go.
Riley.
He
said he would return if asked. That's the issue.
And he wasn't asked.
Exactly.
So he returned
the
door.
My case.
He said, boy, the service entrance is over there.
He's still a Tom. They're both Toms.
Both Toms, huh?
In fact, all blacks working for Bush are Toms.
There you go. Gelman has spoken.
Okay, all right. There it is.
The word has been laid down.
I guess I better turn in my membership card to the black race now. I guess I'm not militant enough.
Well, as I said before, there's a plan by the White House to erect a statue of Colin Powell on the front lawn of the White House in a red hat holding a lantern.
Some might call that a statue. Some might call that a jockey of some kind.
Oh, man. So, look at this, Riley. Getting back onto the other news. There is going to be an Ohio recount. I don't know how much of this is due to the efforts of Bev Harris at blackboxvoting.org or where the money came from, but I know that they've been rallying for money on a lot of different websites, and it looks like at the behest of the Libertarian candidate, who is Michael Badnarik, and the Green Party's candidate, David Cobb, that they are going to have a recount. They were able to raise more than $150,000.
In 4 days!
I actually got an email from that. I did not send money, but I did forward the email around.
Really?
I did send money to Bev Harris's organization.
Oh, yeah.
Or did I? I sent it to the DNC.
I know you said you were going to.
No, I hope I did. Well, we have been sending people there.
Well, you know what's interesting, Mark, is they're starting to look at these paper ballots, the provisional ballots, and what they're finding is that a vast majority of these ballots are legitimate. 81% are valid.
Right.
That's a high percentage, and, you know, at this point, no one really knows exactly who is going to end up getting the majority of the ballots? They say they're not looking to necessarily change the outcome of the election.
But then I also think what's important here is that every ballot must be counted. But I hope that somebody over the long haul is looking towards reforming this polling process into maybe, as you were talking about, federalizing it, or perhaps into actually you know, getting rid of these machines altogether.
I think that's really the only answer here, Mark. You've got to get machines that give you some kind of paper receipt or acknowledgement, official acknowledgement, that your vote has in fact been cast.
Mm-hmm.
The time has passed where anything less is acceptable, quite frankly.
That's right.
I mean, it makes no sense.
It never made sense. And we knew about this a couple of years ago, and I guess a lot of people did struggle within local governments to get rid of these, but the power of the Diebold lobby was too strong, or there wasn't enough resistance, or the money wasn't there to make it happen. But certainly this should raise the awareness. So we'll be back to talk about Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, we're going to talk with Michael Maffin, contributing editor of the Columbia Journalism Review and author of Now They Tell Us, The American Press and Iraq. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Are you getting burned by bills, high-interest credit card debt putting the heat on you? Fight fire with FIRE. That's right. FIRE, Financial Independence and Resource Education, will eliminate your unsecured debt for a fraction of what you owe without a loan. Are you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more in debt and paying outrageous interest rates? Let the professionals at FIRE put 40 years of experience to work for you. They'll negotiate and settle your debt down to 20 to 40% of what you now owe. You can reduce monthly payments immediately and be debt-free in less than 24 months. The FIRE experts are so sure they can eliminate your debt, they even offer a risk-free money-back guarantee. So give them a try. FIRE can even correct your past mistakes by helping you clean up your credit report and remove late payments, bankruptcies, charge-offs, and collections. So remember, fight fire with FIRE. Call right now at 1-866-659-1131. That's 1-866-659-1131. 866-659-1131.
You wear his jersey. He's your man. Leaving the ground from the top of the key. Floating, flying, soaring. No one can hang with him. The ball is smothered by his hands and crushed through the iron rim. One day he'll jump and just keep going in the thin air. Maybe that's how we'll finally leave the game.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
This is Earth and Sky. Despite over a decade of conservation, spotted owls are still in decline, and scientists aren't sure why.
Scientists study spotted owls primarily in the Pacific Northwest and California. Each area of study can consist of hundreds of thousands of acres and contain fewer than 100 pairs of spotted owls. The fact that the owls are nocturnal makes them even harder to find.
Rocky Gutierrez is chair of the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul. He studied spotted owls in their habitats for nearly 25 years.
The sum total of these study areas and the number of birds that have been individually banded so that we can identify individuals probably represents the largest single study of population dynamics of an endangered species ever conducted in the world. So it's a monumental effort. And despite this great amount of effort, we still have uncertainty about some of the populations and what their status is.
Dr. Gutierrez thinks that a combination of hostile weather, a recent invasion of barred owls, and past habitat loss might be why spotted owls are declining. More about owls next time.
Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers. Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Edition. How are you, Mark? You all right?
I'm doing all right, man.
All right. We're going to be talking to the contributing editor of Columbia Journalism Review and author of Now They Tell Us, The American Press and Iraq, Michael Massing, in just a second. But first, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world, and once again joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Good morning, Mark. God's got out a paring knife, and he's going to peel the sin right off you.
All right, man, that's great.
Morning.
Okay, buddy. Today we're going to talk about people leaving Bush's cabinet.
Yes, I should say so. Goodbye and good riddance. Well, take the garbage out.
Wait. Come on. I'm not a fan of these people, but I would think you'd appreciate their loyalty to Bush. I mean, I'm not
loyalty. The only loyalty you liberals know about is to smoking pot and killing babies.
All right.
These people are traitors, Mark. Pure and simple, an insult to humanity, a pus-filled boil, a shanker, a discharge.
All right, I get it.
Dried skin around my sphincter.
I get traitors, though. Come on. You think that departing Agriculture Secretary Ann Veneman, Education Secretary Rod Paige, Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham are traitors? How are they traitors? Why?
Well, isn't it obvious, Mark? Traitor.
All right,
every now and then, they were known to have minor disagreements with the press.
So?
With the president.
Okay.
Oh, for that they should be taken out, strung up by their dangly bits.
All right. Take it easy. I think it's a little harsh. What about Colin Powell? I'm sure you don't care much for him, but didn't he at least bring a superficial sense of dignity to his office, my friend?
Well, I agree that he was incredibly disloyal to the president.
Wait, I heard that Powell was a straight shooter with Bush, that he wouldn't hesitate to tell him the truth about things. Am I wrong?
Mark, in other words, he would openly spit in the president's face and laughed while the drool dripped off his
nose. Wait a minute. Come on.
That man should be court-martialed.
Come on.
Court-martialed, drawn, and
wait a minute. So, let me ask you what you're saying. You're saying that the president should only be advised by people who are going to tell him exactly what he wants to hear, that he shouldn't surround himself. Should he surround himself with clones?
Yes. Yes.
What's the matter now?
Wouldn't that be beautiful if they were all clones?
Oh, man. Why can't it
be that way? Why does the leader of the free world have to concern himself with the opinions of others?
All right. I think you're losing it a little bit.
As far as the eye could see, millions of dudes.
Pull it together. Would you just pull it together, please?
I see it.
I understand that, you've had another breakthrough, but could you just pull it together? You all right?
Very emotional.
Are you okay?
Hey, Condi Rice, is she a fine-looking woman or what? Make her secretary of va-va-boom.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
She's a whole lot
of
woman.
All right, thanks.
More than you can handle, my friend.
Thank you, Lawton. Always interesting.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, then.
Strange man. Right now on the in the studio, actually. He's right here. He's not on the phone. I can see him sitting right here. The editor of the Columbia Journalism Review.
Contributing.
You want to take responsibility for that whole thing?
Please.
Okay, the author of Now They Tell Us, The American Press in Iraq, Michael Massing, is here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
So let's talk about Condoleezza Rice. You heard what Mr. Smalls was saying. I mean, why her? Why are they appointing her just in the broad view? Well, you know, we're all looking for signals of what George Bush was going to do with his self-declared mandate. Would there be any chance whatsoever that he was going to use it to try to reach out, repair some of the ruptures that had occurred with Europe, and make some progress on things like the Mideast and other things? And now we have the answer. I mean, putting Condoleezza Rice at state, elevating her deputy to head of NSC, it's not exactly clones, but it's about as close as you can get. And it's just, just adding to this discouragement about where we're going, the nationalistic side of our foreign policy, rather than sort of being adjusted by these people, realizing what a mess it's gotten us into in Iraq. They're pouring oil on the fire, as far as I can see.
So it's going to be reinforced.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, reading the paper, one of the big questions now is the Israeli-Palestinian situation. Mm-hmm. There is this moment, you know, Blair came to Washington. One of the main reasons was to try to get our president to focus on this and realize that this is the moment when the U.S., as so many people are looking to, is to step in and be something of a broker between these parties. And some people are saying Condoleezza Rice. I mean, the Times today, in this sort of sycophantic profile of her, sort of says, quoting friends, she wants to make progress on this issue. I don't see any indication that she or anybody else in this administration wants to do that. We have Elliot Abrams being our top deputy in the National Security Council on Israel. These people have stood behind Sharon. I don't see, by putting her in state, to me, that's a signal it's going to be more of the same on that key issue.
You know, it's interesting because there's a piece in the Times that says that she's actually, after the election, but before the announcement that she was going to be nominated, she sent Abrams and Daniel Freed to meet with envoys from Europe in Washington to talk about the Palestinian issue. Was she jumping the gun there? Or there's some people that are speculating that she knew then that she was going to be offered state.
Well, that gets into an inside level that I am not privy to, but that was cited as an example of how maybe something is going to happen. I just am totally, totally pessimistic. If you look, all the signals being sent is that the president believes that the nation is on the right course, believe it or not, with Iraq and the broader Middle East strategy. And to put her in there, I mean, Colin Powell was somebody who was trying to make some movement in that area. Now, one could take the view, I mean, the one encouraging thing is that here's somebody who can speak for the president, Colin Powell couldn't, didn't have his ear. Somehow are we going to get like this, Nixon goes to China type of thing, where somebody who's this hardliner suddenly is able to make a breakthrough? You know, stranger things have happened, but as I said, I'm just really discouraged by this.
I've read some views that it's almost better when the State Department and the executive office has so little contention to it, that, you know, it brings things out into a debate. And like with Powell, what's going to happen to our international profile now? I mean, it was already pretty hopeless, and now how's that going to pan out?
Well, I do think that, tension is an interesting thing because sometimes it has been to the point where it's debilitating. I mean, what has actually happened? The tension all came from the direction of the Defense Department running things and state being increasingly marginalized.
But that's still going to be the case.
Well, but it
right?
is interesting to put Condoleezza Rice, who has been, had George Bush's ear, or rather sort of reflecting him so closely. It's setting up a new dynamic there. The thing is, though, how much difference, how much space is there between Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice? I mean, basically, you could see the two of those departments working in tandem. I mean, think back to before the war. I mean, at least you had the State Department arguing for some gesture in the direction of multilateralism. Who's going to be even making those type of gestures? Now, of course, that gesture turned out to be just that and nothing of substance. But
what do you think is going to happen with Iran, North Korea? How are those things going to unfold with her in there?
Iran is, of course, the big one. And, you know, the European Union just signed this tentative agreement with Iran to get it to halt its processing of uranium. And it seemed like that was an example of how the Europeans managed to, through dialogue, come up with something that the Bush administration didn't. Again, I don't see Condoleezza Rice as being the person who is going to be able to be nimble enough diplomatically to take advantage. But look, I hope she proves me wrong. I'll give her that chance, you know?
Your book is called Now They Tell Us, the American Press in Iraq. And the big story, of course, in Iraq now is this videotape.
Right.
Do you think that the media was right or wrong in airing the videotape in the first place?
Well, of course, it got aired in different ways. Actually, Nightline last night had a very interesting program comparing how it was shown on Al Jazeera, the BBC, and NBC, which was the channel that originally got it. And Al Jazeera showed the whole thing down to the names and faces of those who were committing these acts, whereas, of course, on American TV, it stopped short. I think that here to me is, Mark, the significance of this thing, that the reporting out of Fallujah has been so airtight in that the U.S. has done a brilliant job of controlling information coming out of there. Only people embedded with the U.S. military have been in there. Al Jazeera, which broadcast out of Fallujah during the earlier siege there, has been banned from Iraq by the current interim government, working hand in glove with the United States. So the information, there's been this sort of screen around all the information. This broke through it. This is now suddenly the image that everyone outside the United States, or primarily in the Mideast through Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, have of this incident. And it's the nightmare that the U.S. government and military were trying to avoid.
We're talking to Michael Massing. He's the author of Now They Tell Us, the American Press in Iraq. We'll be talking more to him after this. It's 44 past the hour on Air America Radio.
Check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at morningsedition.com.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You wear his jersey. He's your man. Leaving the ground from the top of the key. Floating, flying, soaring. No one can hang with him. The ball is smothered by his hands and crushed through the iron rim. One day he'll jump and just keep going in the thin air. Maybe that's how we'll finally leave the game.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember,
Your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We got a couple things to do before we put this thing down. It's 49 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are talking to Michael Massing, but now we have a quick thing that he's going to have to enjoy with us. This is, we know things are tough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Help Wanted listings and found this for our special Wednesday mornings edition job listing. The Bush administration is looking for a veteran Republican functionary with a complete contempt for education to head the Department of Education. Experience as a teacher is not necessary or even desirable. The willingness to exploit children for political gain, however, is. Applicant must be enthusiastic about implementing a national education policy that emphasizes the importance of trusting the president's gut. Application must not be fancy, Ivy League panty ways who thinks that book learning and facts are more important than the word of our God-appointed leader. Applicant must also be strong supporter of the standardized test, which can be easily understood by every white middle-class suburban teenager and no one else. Our previous secretary said that the NAA was a terrorist organization. Do you have that kind of moxie? If you've ever left a child behind or wanted to, come on in. Let's chat. All right, Michael.
So I forgot that about the terrorist organization. That was a classic of the first term. Yeah.
So we're talking about this videotape that you said broke through. This because you said before that the military had such a lockdown on what came out, what information came out. Now this guy was embedded with the troops, and now how does something like that get around like it did? How did they let that out, so to speak? Do you know?
Well, there's a lot that we don't yet know about this. I mean, it's amazing that this took place on camera, that somehow the troops lost sight of the fact that there was a cameraman there. Maybe stuff like this is going on more regularly. And, of course, let me say, we don't know the facts of what actually happened, the circumstances. I mean, supposedly some of these wounded people turned out to be booby-trapped and they were fierce. But, boy, it is a very incriminating tape. And there is just a lot of sharing that goes on. Reuters, APTN, which is Associated Press, TV News, the Arabic Language Networks, and U.S. Networks, they basically often put clips out that can be used. And in this case, it was a pool reporter. So he was there representing the whole, he was a representative for all these different news agencies. And so, by definition, his tape is going to be made available to other stations.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it that the U.S. media seems like, so much more, kind of censoring and squeamish than Al Jazeera in general?
Well, this is a complicated issue. Al Jazeera, during the earlier siege, people have really been telling me how their broadcaster was inside Fallujah and basically treating it like a sporting match, sort of like, oh, our side is fighting back against their side.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it was really. And it had an, I mean, the U.S. basically lost the propaganda war over Fallujah, and so that's why they are trying to control it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But U.S. networks, I'm just, I mean, even the press reporting, I'm just surprised. I think Fallujah, from what I can see, has been sort of, I mean, devastated, and you don't get that coming through in our coverage. The whole embed process has got so many, is fraught with so many internal problems. I think it deserves a very close look at how it's working or not working.
The thing that troubles me is that there was a report when they first went into Fallujah that they had specifically taken over the hospital
right.
there because they didn't want the hospital reporting high numbers of civilian casualties, which the American military apparently disputed. Where is the media going to go now, since we really haven't heard a great deal about civilian casualties or around the retaking of Fallujah? Where are we going to go to get that information?
Well, one big source that has not been tapped are people who have left Fallujah. Supposedly 200,000 people have left the city. And they are in Baghdad. They're in tents outside, you know, between Baghdad and Fallujah. Very few reporters have talked to these people, and they have ties back in, although, of course, it's hard to get information. So that's one source.
We talked to a couple of people on the ground. We talked to Babek Dagan Pache.
Yeah, we talked to him, and Borzu was on the ground. Well, Borzu's he wasn't in Fallujah, though, but
right. But Babek was in Fallujah. He said that there have these numbers of insurgent death counts, but they're not finding a lot of bodies.
Well, Dexter Filkins actually wrote that in the New York Times. He's been able to go out more with them, and he says, for all the claims about hundreds of insurgents killed, they can't find the bodies. So, I mean, the U.S. military has, it said it's not going to do body counts, but it has increasingly been resorting to that, and it looks like they're stepping into the same trap they did in Vietnam, where they run up these totals, and victory after victory on these tactical levels, and then they're losing the battle. So I think it's another troubling sign.
Do you think it's, are you saying that it's not true?
I think the military is, I mean, why, yeah, I don't say not true, but it has to be
exaggerated.
This is what the press has to always do is hold up the people in power, in authority, to independent scrutiny. And that's why the press is there. And I have not seen the type of just even qualifications on those totals that
yeah.
I think a good reporter needs to do.
The one thing that continues to trouble me, and I can't understand for the life of me, is why the media seemingly completely shies away from questioning the competence of the people who have conducted this operation, who have conducted this war. One of the things that struck me about the videotape was the early part of it, where there was one unit of Marines who were actually getting ready to confront a second group of Marines
right.
who were actually inside the mosque. In other words, you know, somebody didn't know that somebody else was there. And you heard one Marine from one unit say to the other ones, you know, you guys could have got shot.
Right.
And it struck me like, whoa, wait a minute. How is it that these people don't know? Now, you know, again, you don't blame the troops for that. But
well,
you have to ask, is there some level of incompetence on the ground here that's not being reported?
Well, you know, there is a fog of battle problem. I mean, this is what happens in warfare. This is one reason why a lot of people were so squeamish about the war. Bring democracy to Iraq sounds great. Look at all the things that can go wrong. I mean, once you sort of invade a country, occupy it, and have control over 23 million people of a totally different background and culture, look at what can go wrong. The broader problem, Mark, I thought you were going to get at the sort of broader incompetence in the running of this.
Well,
Condoleezza Rice,
yeah,
that she gets made Secretary of State. That is like a finger in the eye of the world, but I was going to say the American people, but look, they reelected this guy knowing everything that they did in leading us into this disastrous war.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and that's part of, it's all part of the same food chain. I was going to go up the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it is striking that there's incompetence seemingly on every level here.
But again, that stuff on that level in the war, that is war. I mean, as someone who's never fought in one, it just seems to me, though, that we have to realize that is what happened.
We took a lot of calls earlier from vets, Vietnam vets, and they said that is absolutely true, that there is an insanity and an intensity that you can't even understand.
Well, they've got you know, insurgents who've gotten a hold of Iraqi uniforms and wearing them. I mean, they can't tell who is who out there.
Yeah.
It's really terrifying.
Well, Michael Massing, thank you very much. The book is Now They Tell Us, The American Press in Iraq. It's available at morningsedition.com for a discount. It's very informative. Great talking to you.
Yeah.
Great.
Come back and see us.
Thanks. I'd love to. Thanks.
So, Leslie, I was going to take that Omar call. Well, Omar, call us back tomorrow.
Yeah, please, Omar.
All right, here we go. This is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here's your marching orders for today. Write these down. Okay, Condi Rice is black. She is a woman, but she's not a lesbian, so it's still fair game to criticize her. Two, suggest Dr. Phil be named Secretary of Education. He taught me to let go. Three, in most sarcastic voice, say, oh, we took Fallujah, so I guess the war is over then. Four, criticize the Incredibles for their cavalier attitude towards Miranda rights and due process. And today's phrase is drop it into conversation. You know why they forced out Powell, don't you? Because the humans are on the way out, and Bush is bringing in robots, man. Robots! What do we got tomorrow? You know, I'll be in Seattle December 3rd and 4th at Giggles, www.gigglescomedyclub.com, taping a CD come out. And tomorrow we've got Neil.
We've got Paul Thompson, the author of Terror Timeline. One of your favorite books is coming in.
Oh, LeBute's Friday. Neil LeBute's Friday.
Yeah, Neil LeBute is on Friday. But tomorrow, Paul Thompson,
like
he's always good.
Bring the book. I'm bringing the book in.
Yeah. Hey, this was fun today, man.
It was good.
You enjoyed the heck out of it. This is Air America Radio. Have a good day.
You too, Riley.
Call 866.